be this notebook here. We're going to put it at the back table by the amendments. And if anybody is interested in testifying for or against this bill today, please get your name on the list. We did get a few phone calls, but we're going to put the this notebook out, so please print your name on the list, and we'll get you up here this morning during the meeting. Okay, meeting will come to order. This is Governmental Operations and Veterans Affairs today on May 3rd. And members, we have a few announcements here. This is probably our last meeting that we'll be having in this biennium. And let's first actually get started with the minutes. So, Representative Hosh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. After reviewing the minutes, I'd like to move their approval.
Representative Hosh moves approval of the minutes of the March 17th meeting. Any discussion? All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and those minutes are approved. Thank you. Okay. And that was the minutes of, April 6th. Excuse me. The April 6th meeting. I was looking back at our minutes of the April 17th meeting because that's when we last had the Westerberg bill before us. And I was noticing that we did have about 5 hours of discussion on that earlier meeting, and we had 15 different testifiers. So we're hoping we can keep things to a minimum today, do some action on amendments, and move this bill out to the next committee. So members, I think we have 8 or 9 minutes in your packets, and I believe most of those ideally relate to sections 5 and 6 of the Viking Stadium bill that we will be looking at today that relate to the governmental operations piece of the bill. And the plan for this bill is that it would go from our committee to a local government rules as part of the third deadline issue, and then taxes, ways and means. So this bill has a ways to go through the process. Today we'd like to end here, ideally 11:30. We're going to see how many people would like to testify, and we'll set up a game plan for that, maybe 10 minutes for people that are supporting the bill, 10 minutes for people who are opposed to the bill. You know, we might have 2 or 3 testifiers. We'll see what the list is like here, and we'll split up that time evenly with the pro and the con. So let me just announce again, too, anybody in the audience that would like to testify for or against the bill, please get your name on the list. Ideally, if you've already testified at the earlier meeting, if you could hold off for a little bit, we'll see how the list gets and how our time frame is. I know there's going to be resource people here available to answer questions with the bill. And before we close up the meeting at the end today, I'm going to be thanking staff and everybody, but as you can see at the tables here, there are some treats here, which is kind of unusual for our committee, but I thought we need to celebrate a little bit for 2 years of hard work here in the Governmental Operations Committee. So appreciate everybody's hard work through the time that we've been meeting in this committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Okay, well, let's get started. And let's see. Chair will move that House File 2294 be recommended approval and be re-referred to the Committee on Local Government. And members, you have lots of things in your packet. The House File 2294, basically you can set that to the side because in a minute here we're going to be taking up Representative Westerberg's DE1 amendment. And then we'll follow through with several other amendments after that. And, okay, well, let's get started. Chair will move the DE1 amendment to House File 2294, and this would put the bill in the order that the author desires. And so any discussion on that motion? All in favor of the DE1 amendment to put the bill in the shape that Representative Westberg would like? Okay. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the DE1 amendment is approved and in front of us. Representative Westerberg, welcome back to our committee, and I know that you have several things to tell us today and probably questions, and then we'll be going through the amendments here shortly. So welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And I'd like to begin just by building a little bit of a base here to refresh everyone's memory here on what it is we're trying to accomplish. And I'm going to start out with the fact that just addressing two things in particular. One is the fact that I really believe that the Metrodome's days are numbered. And if we were to stop and think about the Metrodome when it was first built, and you went there for your very first time, how great that facility was, and how awe-inspiring we found that facility to be, and how proud we were to talk about that facility and tell other people that we'd been there, to recognizing what type of a facility it is today. It is certainly inadequate. This particular facility has a hard time competing for national events. And those are some of the things that really make Minnesota, it's part of what makes Minnesota a great state. But its days are numbered. Today, you know, and I'm not going to go through all the deficiencies in the Metrodome currently, but I mean, I think it suffices to say, simply looking at the inadequacy of the restrooms, especially the women's restrooms, when women are lined up outside the restrooms to be able to use the facilities. The Metrodome is simply inadequate. Secondly, I just want to talk a little bit about the fact that already on the House we have passed two major stadium bills, a University of Gophers bill and a Minnesota Twins bill. And I think both of those stadiums are excellent stadiums. They're great for the state of Minnesota. They're really good projects, and I'm glad that they're moving to the point that they are. But members, I'd just like to ask you to compare the value of this project to either of the other two stadiums, which we've already acknowledged are a really good deal for the state of Minnesota. But when you talk about it being a public facility, consider the use of the public of that facility. The Metrodome is used far more by the public than some of these other stadiums will be used. The Metrodome currently is big enough to handle 40, 50, 60, 70,000 people. It's climate controlled. And those things are necessary for us to have a facility that can compete for national events. The economic impact of the Viking Stadium proposal, the Anoka County Stadium proposal, is far greater than the economic impact of the other two stadiums. And that's without the $1 billion of private investment money that we're also talking about coming along with this stadium project. This is not just a stadium. Vikings corporate headquarters would be here, training facilities, a museum, Hall of Fame, business class hotel, medical center, new housing, retail, and corporate space. And members, another thing that you should consider is that with this project comes 260 acres of mitigated wetlands. Now, do you know how important that is? Because if this land is sold separately and one person buys 10 acres and another person 40 acres and another person 60 acres and another person 30 acres, each of them ends up having to mitigate the wetlands on that property separately. This master plan has been talked about with the Army Corps of Engineers, the Rice Creek Watershed District, Bowser, PCA, Department of Natural Resources. I think it really is important for us to give this proposal adequate consideration. Members, with that, I'll go into the bill. I'm going to start by just covering briefly House File 2294. This bill creates an Anoka County Blaine Stadium Authority to construct and operate a football stadium for the Minnesota Vikings in Blaine. The bill provides three sources of funds for the stadium. At least $280 million of the cost of the stadium facility must be contributed by the team. Secondly, the Anoka County is authorized to impose either restaurant, lodging, and amusement taxes or a 3/4 of 1% general sales tax to back bonds up to $280 million for construction of the stadium. And third, the stadium authority is authorized to issue bonds up to $230 million for stadium construction and related infrastructure and highway improvements. The bill authorizes the issuance of revenue bonds by the authority and the county to pay for costs associated with the stadium. Now, members, that was the old 2294, and the changes to the new delete all amendment are what I'll go over here next. First, there's a change in the funding mechanism. As introduced, House File 2294 generated revenue for the state share of the stadium by providing an exemption from state sales tax in the stadium district and allowing the stadium authority to replace the tax with its own sales and use tax. That was in the old 2294. Under the amendment, the state share comes from stadium tax increment, which includes the increase in withholding and sales tax from football-related events in the stadium and the increase in the state property tax in the district over the same taxes collected in the Metrodome in 2004. Second, the bonding authority. The original bill authorized Anoka County to issue up to $650 million in bonds. The amendment allows the county to issue $280 million and the stadium authority to issue $230 million. So this has been reduced from $650 down to $510 million. House File 2294 required at least one-third of the stadium costs to be paid by the team and limited the public contribution to two-thirds of the costs. The amendment's going to require the team contribution of at least $280 million, but limits the public investment to 59% of the stadium project costs. So the amendment changes it from 66 and two-thirds on the public's portion down to a maximum of 59%. Also, there's a change, a roof requirement has introduced. House File 2294 was silent on the issue of a roof. However, it was always intended that the roof be included for the stadium, but the DE amendment requires either a fixed or retractable roof. The next thing, the amendment makes clear that bond proceeds may be used for a roof and for improvements to Highway 35W and other trunk highways for access to the stadium. The amendment also permits the county to use local sales tax revenue in excess of amounts needed for debt service for county transportation and public safety projects. The amendment eliminates the possibility of a county ticket tax or a county sports memorabilia tax. That's eliminated. The amendment also identifies some technical changes here. It identifies the Anoka County Blaine Stadium Authority as a political subdivision of the state. The amendment requires the authority to adopt a personal code. It provides that its members are public officials for financial disclosure purposes and that it is subject to audit by state auditors. Finally, the amendment updates statutory references and corrects erroneous internal cross-references. And with that, members, we'll stand for questions. And actually, I'd like to introduce two testifiers before we take amendments, if that'd be all right, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Westford, please proceed.
Okay, I'd like to call Lester Bagley to the table.
Mr. Bagley, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Lester Bagley, Vice President of Public Affairs for the Minnesota Vikings. Thank you very much, members, for the opportunity to come back again before you today. I'm just going to provide a brief introduction of Mr. Wilf. I want to make a couple quick points up front. As you recall, members, we had a very detailed several hours of hearings, kind of a one-day hearing in two sections in this committee. Earlier on in the session, we brought in Anoka County officials who testified. We had Vikings officials. We had our architect and planner to talk about the Northern Lights project. We had our transportation consultant and our environmental consultant. And also, we gave a finance overview with our financial people. So we've been through a lot of the project details, so we'll spare you a review of those issues. But we do have those people here today to answer any questions. They're not going to testify unless you have questions, are certainly available. Today, you will hear briefly from the owner of the Minnesota Vikings, who is also the project developer of the Northern Lights complex. Just two quick points before Mr. Wilf speaks, and that's one, there are roughly 2.5 weeks yet to go this session, and we're asking that you not end the discussion on Vikings. We ask that we at least explore the opportunity to see if we can move forward and get this done and take advantage of the $1 billion in private investment that Mr. Wilf and partners are offering to invest. And as we have learned, as more people and more legislators understand the details and the benefits and understand that Mr. Wilf is for real and that this is a tremendous economic development opportunity for the state, that the more they believe that this discussion should be kept alive. So moving this forward allows this discussion to continue. With that, as everyone knows, the Vikings are under new leadership and new ownership. We have a new direction and new attitude, and there's some great things happening at Winter Park. And we've also have ownership that have brought a new approach to the stadium issue. And that approach is investing in a solution, investing $1 billion of private capital as they are ownership are investing in our team, as they are investing in our community. Mr. Wilf and partners have made a commitment to Minnesota to focus on community, to never move the team, and again, to invest in our economy and jobs and tax base. And with that, Mr. Ziggy Wilf.
Mr. Wilf, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today and thank Representative Westerberg for taking on this challenge. And thank you to Anoka County for stepping up to be our part. The Minnesota Vikings are offering to invest $1 billion of private capital into the stadium project and the project around it and into this economy. The Northern Lights proposal, as you see here, offers an exciting opportunity to create a sports, retail, and entertainment center anchored by a Vikings destination. This is the main reason why Anoka County partnered with us. They feel that the entire facility becomes a magnet, an anchor, for what they have achieved in the last 20 years in development for the entire Metro North area of the Twin Cities. This is a tremendous economic development opportunity for the Twin Cities area and the state of Minnesota. It will create thousands of jobs. It will increase the tax base by millions of dollars, generating property taxes in excess of $12 to $14 million. A tremendous economic activity will be created by this. The project will not just be a project for 10 or 12 games a year. It will provide a venue for amateur sports, which is now an anchor through the National Sports Center. It will be an Upper Midwest regional sports destination for our Vikings fans throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. It will have an opportunity to have not only performances, but speakers speak to large groups, an environment right now which will be very inviting. We don't have that now. Hopefully, we'll be able to, with your support, provide the venue for a future Super Bowl and a future Final Four basketball event. This is a great opportunity. Since we became owners, or may I say guardians of this team, and that's how I have felt meeting people throughout the state, that the passion of the fans here and the citizens for the Minnesota Vikings are so deep, I have not seen it and I have not heard of it with any other team from any other community in the entire country for any sport. That's why I really felt I wasn't just the owner, but we became guardians. Since we became guardians, I have been only positive and supportive of the Minnesota Twins and the University of Minnesota Stadium projects, and we have helped them when we have been asked. Let me reiterate, as I've stated many times before, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to move forward on three stadiums issues this year. Now, a lot of people have asked me, why so quick? Why now? Why do we have to be here now? Well, let me answer you. I've always stated before that whether we play football in the Metrodome or hopefully in a future home that we can be proud of, I will play in Minnesota, in the Twin Cities, even if it's in the Pop Warner Field. But I think we should also have a responsibility to make sure we have a home for our team that many of us can be proud of and enjoy a Sunday game enjoying our team. But more importantly, why is the urgency now? Why are we being asked that we should be heard now? Well, yes, we've been only owners 10 months, but Anoka County stepped up more than 2 years ago, and now we have a great partnership. But the window of opportunity is closing at the county level. Also, as important, and as you could have witnessed in the past when questions of stadiums occurred and sometimes delays had occurred in the stadiums, and one of the reasons why the hockey team had moved out and later on came in, it costs more. Every year that goes by, as you know right now, the pressures of materials, and as you probably have been told by the Twins, the cost of materials, especially concrete and steel, which make up a bulk of stadium building, has gone up dramatically. We have to compete with India and China for these raw materials, and we are only very weary that if we lose this opportunity now, the cost can get to the point where it tests both our opportunity to get this done. And I'm very concerned on that point especially, that we have to deal with it now, because the cost might get to the point even a year or two or three down the road that we both cannot find a way to do this partnership. The cost will just get out of hand. As I talk to many groups around the state, especially speaking to many of the CEOs, listening to what they want, giving me advice, they've reiterated a very important aspect of what they need to do to attract people to the state, to enjoy the important quality of life issues that you make a priority. They get people here because they sell the Minnesota school system, one of the best in the country. You should be proud of that. But very important, when they mention Minnesota Vikings, they feel that throughout the country, as you see stadiums being built by cities throughout, that these cities feel it's very important, many of them being built 100% with government money. They feel it's such an important part of their quality of life, not only to retain and have the citizens that are in the state enjoy the stadium, but the CEOs tell me that it's an important part of many relocations to this area. To make sure that the teams that they want to enjoy, that they can follow, have a home in which they don't have to wait an hour and a half on a restroom or enjoy a full day experience. And then on top of that, what we plan here with our $1 billion investment on the surrounding Northern Lights development is to provide that entertainment retail venue where families can go and enjoy not only a day outing on a Sunday game, but 365 days in a year, because it will have all the things like the Hall of Fame, our practice facilities, IMAX theaters, retail shops, all the things that anchored the southern metro area for many years through the development that occurred there. But now, this is a very important part of what I feel is an underserved area. This will be the anchor. And Anoka County realizes, as we do, that this partnership that we have is not just to build a stadium, but to inject the private capital the $1 billion of private capital we intend to invest here to provide a venue which will make the Metro North area develop as they have planned. What I'm asking from you today is this. Please give us the same consideration as the Twins. and move us forward to the next committee. Let's at least keep the discussion going to see what is still possible this session. I feel strongly that there needs to be further review and study of the Vikings Stadium development project. The bill deserves to move forward and to be heard by other members of the Minnesota House. Also, we all agree that the Metrodome is an antiquated facility. And as a developer, when I saw the site, I knew right away that this had a potential to be a great opportunity to create a renaissance for the future in the next 10 to 20 years so we can develop the area on the eastern side of Minneapolis to create a park, residential, plaza system between the river and the downtown area. It's a great opportunity, and I hope that I have involvement in that, because as a developer, I love the opportunity to make things grow and improve the quality of life. So at this time, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come here before you, and I don't know if we ask any questions, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wilf. I understand that you're going to be here this morning to answer questions later as well, but I know there's a couple of members that would like to ask you questions at this time before we start the amendment. So first up is Representative Demmer.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Wilf, welcome to our committee, and it's a pleasure. I got to tell you, I had the chance to meet you. I hope you remember seeing me down in Rochester a number of months ago. I think at that time you were about 4 months into owning the team, and you were dealing with some issues, shall we say, having to do with the lake party. So the topic of conversation that day in Rochester kind of deviated a bit from some of the things we wanted to talk about. But I know one of the things that struck me about your conversation there, and you mentioned today being a guardian of the franchise. You talked a lot about what your goals and your aspirations were for the team, not necessarily financially, but in terms of what kind of character you wanted to have and how you wanted this team to represent the state of Minnesota. And one of the things you talked about at that time, you mentioned here about you're not going anywhere, you play in a Pop Warner Field, whatever, but you mentioned down in Rochester that you like to not just get properties and move them as a salesman would do or whatever, but you like to hold things and you like to make them grow as you did here today. It just really impressed upon me that you talked about how important the character of the team was and how excited you were as a family and making this organization grow. Could you talk a bit about, you didn't really delve into that here today, and it might not be the place, but I think it's important for the members of this committee and for the people watching to hear you talk about your vision for how you want to see this asset that you have in the Minnesota Vikings and your thoughts about holding properties and what you see for an overall vision beyond winning football games and that sort of thing, which is part of it, but beyond that, because I really impressed me when you talked about that, Mr. Wilf, and I really, really appreciated hearing your comments. So if you would go into that a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, thank you. Our family has been in business for over 50 years. We consider ourselves one of the largest private developers in the country. Part of our philosophy has been to develop because we enjoy to develop and create things. We're not traders. In fact, 95% of the projects we have built we still own today and still manage it. We take great care of whatever we develop to manage it for generations. It's been our long-term philosophy. It's been our long-term philosophy as it stands for the Minnesota Vikings. We are here for the long term. But very important, the most important for us is the integrity of my family's name and of the ownership group's name, that we move forward with integrity and character. And we are in the process in my first 10 months to instill that in our team so that we can be proud of our team, both on and off the field, and so that Minnesota and its fans can be proud of their team. Certainly, my priority was to put together a team so that we could win. That will be my priority, but it will be done in a way that we can be proud of. I'm also very proud to make sure that we have a home that we can be proud of. It's kind of disheartening my first year traveling around, seeing new stadiums being the home for the fans and for the teams, and where other teams come to our Metrodome, it's quite embarrassing. Locker rooms aren't big enough. Facilities are antiquated. We all realize that the time has come to move on. That's why we're here, to discuss not only our future home, but the future home of both of the Twins and the Gophers. But we very much pride ourselves to instilling a feeling of family in our Minnesota Vikings over at Winter Park. We've accomplished that. We are still accomplishing that. It's a process, but hopefully we'll have a team that everyone here can be proud of.
Representative Dimmer, follow-up?
No, Madam Chair, I guess the only thing I'd like to comment is, you know, as we're looking at a public-private partnership and something like this, I think it's important that when we as a state legislature look at partnering. Well, in my business, I always like to know the character of the person I'm dealing with, then you get to the specifics. And I think it was important to hear some of that. It's something that I was impressed upon. It was impressed upon me when I heard Mr. Wolf speak before that he was really in this for what I thought to be the right reasons, and I thought it was important that people hear that as we move forward with trying to fashion this deal. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Other questions for members? Okay. Representative Dempsey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Wolf, we've had the Mega Mall in the southern part of the Twin Cities, and now we're going to go to the north part. We had to destroy the hockey arena in that southern Mega Mall. I don't think anyone anticipated those kinds of things. The Twins also had a stadium in the southern part of the Twin Cities area. And I'm just wondering, now we've got a situation in the northern part. And from your perspective, do you see anything such as this particular facility not being sufficient so that we don't have the destruction of an ice arena or the destruction of a baseball stadium and so on? Could you maybe answer that? Now, I know that's something that's in the future, but do you think your program that you're presenting here would eliminate those kinds of situations?
Mr. Wills.
Madam Chair, we've been diligent in Representative Dempsey. We've been very much involved lately we've had an opportunity when we came here to see what was out there in terms of locations for what would really be an ideal situation for the stadium. We just didn't take the Anoka County proposal that was out there for this particular site and say, well, this is the county, this is what they wanted, they're out there, let's do a deal here. I scouted, and I consistently, as a real estate developer, have traveled through the entire metro Twin Cities area and got to know many different locations and possibilities. But it constantly comes back to the Rice Creek Preserve. This is a 750-acre area, well-situated, 12 to 13 miles north of both St. Paul and Minneapolis, in an area which was developed all around with sports, National Sports Center down the street and homes down the street and shopping centers across the street and the corporate facilities. It's on a major interstate, and it's provided the opportunity to and we have a 750 acres, of which 250 acres will be incorporated in a nature preserve and incorporated into a park lot, tailgating parking lot area scenario where we will transport people on carts through the Rice Creek Preserve into the stadium area. This is the perfect combination of having a stadium. This is what's happening now with a few stadiums which are being proposed today, such as in Dallas, such as in New England. These are stadiums that do not want to have a 10-day or 12-day-a-year lifespan. They want to have a 365-a-day span where the retail development entertainment facility becomes a magnet. It will not be as large as the Metro Mall, but I can say the facilities will be as much more modern, have the an updated theme, entertainment theme, and it will be an anchor for the Metro North area. This is why it is very important. Anoka County became partners with us, not for being partners in the stadium. They wanted to make sure that the development that we anticipate putting here next door comes with the stadium, because they also want to see this area be the anchor for the for that Metro North area, which it certainly could be. I hope I answered the question.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. Madam Chair?
Follow-up, Representative Dempsey.
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. And I'm just wondering, I was just wondering about, and you have to be a little bit of a visionary, but are you planning to have some kind of transportation that will allow people to get into this area for football, for commercial purchases and that kind of thing? I'm referring to, do you think you will be coming in and saying, we now need light rail?
Well,
Mr. Will.
Madam Chair, Representative Dempsey, as you know, we've looked at all aspects of the transportation facilities. We've retained experts that dealt with that. As part of our plan anticipates improving, which has been long awaited, 35W from where Medtronic has already agreed to improve their intersection and improve it all the way through our development, a total of more than 3 miles. Also improving certain interchanges. We also intend to use the National Sports Center as an area which is a mile down on 109th as an area in which we can transport people from the National Sports Center parking lot. There's also something else. We also will have a Disney-like style tram system. Not necessarily light rail. It's one of those long cars where after people tailgate, they'd be able to move, be able to hop on these area, on these trams and get to the stadium. You mentioned light rail. We're also anticipating that hopefully when the Metro Star gets completed up to Coon Rapids.
That would be the North Star.
North Star, I'm sorry. North Star Commuter Rail. I think this will be very important, being able to have people from the downtown and other areas come there and set up a system of transport from there, shuttling them over to the stadium, which is would be only 10 minutes away. There are also other minor adjustments that we're making, the traffic systems on Central Avenue and all that, but we have a plan in place that incorporates all those aspects. But no, we would not need light rail there. I think the Metro Star would have that, would help us down the road.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. To this point, I represent Westerberg. You wanted to make a comment?
Well, Madam Chair, I was just going to make a comment, actually, to the last point. I think it's important to note that in this entire project or development, there's approximately up to 200 acres for the stadium site alone, training facilities and everything. To compare that to the current Metrodome situation, the Metrodome's sitting on about 20 acres. So I think that the potential is there to solve future problems and keep this team and location there for a long time into the future.
Okay, next up is Representative Aaron Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to Mr. Wilf and Mr. Westerberg and Mr. Bagley. I see this as an opportunity, a very big complex, if you will, and you're going to consume a lot of electricity. I don't have an amendment today, but you're saying about the wetlands and the nature part of it, and the natural resources and such, and There's also a lot of resources that every year the cost goes down. You were talking about the costs going up and being prohibitive, and we need to be here, we need to get going because of the costs. Well, the costs of renewable energy go down every year. And I think this is an opportunity for you and your purchasing power as a large unit to help spur the investment in your purchasing power in rural Minnesota and across the upper Midwest with the increasing of the jobs and labor investment and manufacturing. If you could, and you can, earmark that you want to buy renewable energy for your facility, tying it into the soft approach about the wetlands and the this and the that and being environmentally friendly and updated, you know, that word would really spread that you definitely are a guardian of Minnesota's quality of life if you were to, and I don't have an amendment, if you were to consider as you move ahead the opportunities there to invest in renewable energy and make it truly a modern, forward-looking type of facility.
Mr. Will.
Madam Chair, Representative Peterson, I think the Senate might have, I was the Senator of the House, the Senate might have beaten you to it. We agreed to, as I think the Twins did, agreed to Senator Higgins' amendment, which required us to have what would be a green building. We still have to formulate what that might mean in terms of also that we would be buying steel from U.S. steel makers.
Of course.
But in specifics to, you know, what you have, I think that would have to be discussed in more detail, but certainly we certainly would consider talking more about that. But we agreed to that when asked us in the Senate committee to agree to those amendments, and we did.
Thank you. No follow-up.
Thanks. Next member, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I actually got a number of questions. Some I think could be for Representative Westerberg, some for Mr. Wolf or Mr. Bagley. I think I'll start. First, Representative Westerberg, I really want to thank you for keeping this separate. I think that's important, unlike what's happened in the Senate. These are two different projects, and I appreciate your willingness to bring them forward in a separate way. And unfortunately, in the Senate, they've thrown them together, and some of my questions are going to talk about the differences. I'm concerned that you may not get a chance to go through all the committee process here at the House before we see this on the floor. And I think there's a number of questions I have about the differences in the bill. One specifically, as you know, on the House floor, we added language that tweaked the amendment that said the team would give 18% of the proceeds of a sale that would be outside of the family of the ownership now within some certain constraints through the life of the payment of the stadium, or in that case, the ballpark. Mr. Wolf, I guess my question for you would be, are you willing to do the same that the Twins did on that deal?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. My next question would be in regards to the proceeds of the Metrodome. I think this is a question for Representative Westerberg. Will the proceeds from the Metrodome be tied to this deal the way you've presented it now?
Representative Westerberg.
Representative McNamara, or Madam Chair and Representative McNamara, the proceeds from the sale of the Metrodome are stipulated in law how that money has to be spent, and I know that we have an amendment to deal with that today, so that's going to come up a little bit later here, but I can't give you the precise split on how that money is handled at this time, so if you could wait until that amendment comes up, we'll get that information for you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Representative Westerberg, that would be fine. If I could proceed, Madam Chair.
Please.
A couple other questions I have. I know there's a number of infrastructure improvements that we would need to accommodate for a project of this size. And will we need to upfront that money from the state to where potentially a road improvement somewhere else in the state of Minnesota would have to wait for this money to be done ahead of time?
Mr. Novak, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Steve Novak, Division Manager for Anoka County Government and Project Manager for this particular development. Representative McNamara, the way our plan has been designed, the answer would be we do not need to do that for the project to go forward, but we have identified, or you might say pre-identified for the public discussion, a variety of improvements to the road structure around the facility that over time people probably would want to see done. An extra lane on 35W, as is being paid for Medtronic, just to the south of us, as an example. And we've identified a cost to those road improvements at about $100 to $115 million. Currently in this bill, the state portion would be a state sales tax increment zone that would envelope the 740-acre development. The but for the development increased sales tax revenues for the state that are produced would amount to about $8 to $9 million. That would be bonded against to pay the state's share of infrastructure and their share of the roof under this current proposal. The project is strong enough that it produces revenues in excess of that amount, and we were suggesting that if the state wanted us to pay for those road developments, those road improvements that are on the DOT's list for the future, and move them up to the current timeline of the construction facility, the project could pay for those road improvements. Therefore, they would not have to come from dollars that otherwise road projects in your district and others would, we wouldn't have to compete against those down the road. The project could pay for them.
Follow up to that question.
Thank
you, Mr. Novak. And then would you expect the state to bond for those projects?
I think that's open to future discussion. It really depends on how this proposal ends up and what the state in the end wants to do with the sales tax increment zone, how strong you want it to be. What we're suggesting is that the project is strong enough to pay the state's 18% share. It was 33%. It's down to 18%. I always want to repeat at this point that it involves no current state general funds. None. It is all the classic but for the development state general funds created because of the project, mostly through the increased sales tax revenues. How that bonding would take place, I mean, we have a mechanism in the bill, but that's open for your consideration and other options. I might also add, and I want to make this clear, that because we've been clear about this since the day we proposed the most recent agreement, most recent proposal that was coupled with our agreement with the owner that was negotiated last August and September, that if this project were to open without any of these road improvements taking place, the public coming to this facility would be in better shape with the current road system that's there now than they have ever been at the Metrodome, coming and going off 35W, Washington Avenue, so on and so forth. What we're suggesting, because of the size and scope of this development, what's already been identified by the DOT as road improvements that the public is probably going to want, but now we don't have the money to fix, the project is strong enough to do that through this concept, if you'll let us do it.
Anything further? Representative McMurray.
One last hard question, Madam Chair, and then I'm done, especially as long as I have the county up there. I guess I would like to ask the owner and the county both. The bill that we approved out the house for the twins does not include a roof. Are you both okay if this project did not include a roof?
The county is not okay with that.
Okay.
And we don't believe the state should be okay with that, because in Representative Westerberg's opening statement, he touched on what I believe, and I think a lot of us believe, is one of the major economic issues that ought to be discussed as an integral part of this debate and has not been, which is the value and the importance of the Metrodome to Minnesota's economy over the last 25 years. It's put something between $3 to $5 billion into your state general fund to pay for your education system, your health care system, your criminal justice system. It put Minnesota in a national, international marketplace. And the Minnesota Vikings, I dare say, are the only partner that makes it possible for Minnesota to invest in a next-generation Metrodome. And I think the evidence is clear that over a relatively short period of time, the Metrodome is going to go away. And if we don't take advantage of this situation and this partnership with the Minnesota Vikings, this institution, because we're not New York, you know, we're not Chicago, we're not Philadelphia, we don't take advantage of this relationship to build a roof temperature controlled facility, we in fact are going to take ourselves out of a national, international marketplace, and over the next 30 to 50 years are going to lose several billion dollars with a B to our state general fund. We always talk about what it costs to build these things. My opinion would be we don't spend enough time talking about what we're going to lose if we don't build them, and if we don't build them correctly. So we're a very different project than the Minnesota Twins. We're a very different project than the University of Minnesota Gophers. And this facility is a very different facility than either one of those. Even if you put a roof on the Twin Stadium, it would not replicate the Metrodome in terms of our ability to compete as a state in the national, international marketplace for major events.
Thank you. And then, Madam Chair, I did ask a question of both the team and the county.
I agree with my partner.
Your partner in the Vikings or your partner at the table from the county?
Mr. Wolf.
With the county.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate your frankness, Mr. Wolf. I look forward. I will have an amendment later as to our first question, and that was an important one to me because I'm glad to know that you're serious about, you talk about willing to play in a cornfield, but your willingness to share if there was an ownership change is really important to me. So I thank you for your frankness.
Thank you. Okay, I got a couple other members on the list, and actually we'd like to get to amendments pretty quickly. Let me just ask you, Representative Severson, Representative Beard, Representative Liebling, are these two, Mr. Will? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Mine are just general comments about the transportation infrastructure in particular. If there's an amendment coming up about that, we can wait till then.
Okay. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Wolf. My question actually is kind of about transportation, too. You discussed that a little bit, and just following up from what Representative Peterson asked about the renewable energy, I wanted to ask you, this proposal is to put something that's really would be obviously beyond walking distance for most people, and I wonder if you've given any thought to what the impact would be if oil prices rise significantly, because I think we all have to recognize that we live in an era of increasing cost of gasoline and, in fact, some energy insecurity. None of us really know what's going to happen in the next year or 5 years or 10 years. So what if, say, gasoline went up to $6 a gallon? Have you given any thought about how that would impact the financial picture, how you would get people to the stadium and so on?
Madam Chairman, Representative Liebling, we haven't really, the run-up in prices of oil have happened just in the last year. Certainly we'd have to make certain adjustments, possibly. As I say, the location of the property is equidistant between, between St. Paul and Minneapolis, 12 miles north. So pretty much it's within, it could be for many closer, it could be for many further. So we haven't really analyzed the data yet in terms of the extra miles that might take place. But it's very important, and we would probably look, if things really got out of control, to find ways in which we can set up a stronger mass transportation system, since it's bus transportation from downtown. It still might be part of our proposal. We would like to review that, but we would have to make everything work in terms of accommodating the transport issue. But the most important thing about getting it done and saving and making sure it doesn't cost more to drive is to get this thing done quicker. Because ultimately, every year that goes by will make this cost, the cost of this project prohibitive. And therefore, if we get to a point past relatively close to the future, we're going to be have a situation where it'll be impossible to get it through. So I think what's more important is to solve the transportation issue. We have good ideas right now, but in particular the cost. We would find ways to increase the mass transit bus system from different locations throughout the metro area, be it from Bloomington or from Maple Grove or from downtown Minneapolis or downtown St. Paul. And then, of course, with the Metro Star line coming through and the National Sports Center and the parking lot. These are all areas in which we can probably find ways to help the transportation system improve the project.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Novak.
Madam Chair, Representative, just a little additional information on the site. As was stated before, just as a comparison to another major project, this site is actually closer to downtown Minneapolis than the Mall of America is on the south. The southern border of this site, roughly around 95th and 35W, already has a major park and ride for the Metropolitan Bus System, where several thousand people park and ride the bus every day there now. And so I think it's well suited, and we have the property to expand those kinds of facilities to help answer your question. In addition to that, we're well situated for park and rides connecting up to other future transportation systems that are coming online, like the North Star. And I think Mr. Wilf, as the developer, the city of Blaine, as the planning partner in Anoka County, are very open to considering varieties of new innovative ways to move people back and forth from this site. And I hope that helps.
As I indicated before, Madam Chair, Representative Leland, that within the parking, the Rice Street Preserve, we will have a transportation system that when people finish tailgating and hopefully enjoying the day before the game, we will have a transport system that will be a battery-powered transport system that they, as they do at Disneyland, as they transport people in the parks to the front door of the stadium, so that people won't be driving around and trying to waste gas and waste energy. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, members, I'd like to move into amendments here, and actually, we'd like to be done today, ideally around 11:30. We can go a little bit later. I know we're limited with time. Thank you, Mr. Wilf, and I think you'll be available for questions if we have more later. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, the delete all is already on the bill. Okay, members, I'd like to start with the A06 amendment. Chair will move A06 to 1658. And I've got kind of an order of going through amendments this morning. Members, I think this amendment comes as no surprise. It relates to doing a local referendum on the sales tax in Anoka County. And I'm the only legislator here from the Anoka County area, and I've heard a message pretty loud and clear from my constituents that they would like to be able to vote on this sales tax issue. So I've moved the A06 1658 amendment, and is there questions? Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, just a couple of comments. First of all, on a housekeeping note, I noticed that you and Representative Kahn are the only two amendment movers who actually signed your amendments. And as a member of the committee, I just want to say thank you for doing that. For all the other anonymous amendment makers, take the hint.
Okay.
Who are they?
We'll be moving through those. Thank you.
We'll find out shortly who they are, I'm sure. Hold them up to public ridicule. But Madam Chair, to your amendments. You know, you've heard this committee, I'm sure, has grown used to me waxing whatever it is I wax about this business of governing ourselves and how we're elected as representatives from our district come down here and do the people's business. Early on in my brief career here, I was approached about signing on to the initiative and referendum proposed legislation, which I not only declined to sign, I railed against the guy carrying the bill. I said, this was not a good idea. This is not what representative government is about. And so I'm already on the record as being opposed to referendums as actually poor public policy, unless they involve something very close. I think we make provisions for school districts in particular, where we haven't given school district school boards the direct ability to levy taxes. We've given those folks the responsibility of levying referendums for excess operating revenue and for building buildings and so on and so forth. In this case, however, to those that would say that not holding a local referendum is unconstitutional, I would challenge you to hold up the Minnesota Constitution and wave it, or show me the place where it says referendums are in the Bill of Rights or are engaged in the Constitution. They're not there. They're just not there. To indicate that we're circumventing law, we're the legislature. We make the law. we make it, we alter it. The provision that we talked about just with Twinsville here just a few days ago actually seems to imply very clearly that referendums will be held for local option sales taxes except if the legislature grants the exemption. And I guess that falls right into our purview. It's certainly within our realm to debate the merits of something, particularly with such statewide significance as this project, and to decide whether or not to grant a local option sales tax, hold the referendum, or whatever. And I'm going to speak again in favor of the institution, the grand institute or tradition of this place, that we are the directors of this state. It's our job to suck it up, debate the issue, and take the tough votes, whether we're for it or against it. This is our job.
Okay, next up is Representative Severson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Mr. Novak and the author of the bill here, just a couple questions. So, one is, this has gone before the commissioners of the Anoka County. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And, Madam Chair, Mr. Novak, what was the vote on that?
Mr. Novak.
Madam Chair, Representative, the vote was 6-1.
6-1 in favor of the moving forward with the Viking Stadium?
That is correct.
Thank you. And just a follow-up question. Mr. Novak, in the previous statement you said that the but-for provision, the 18% that the state actually puts in, but for the provision or the existence of the stadium, these revenues would not be realized. Once those bonds are paid off, does that revenue then go after that to the team or to the state?
Mr. Novak.
Representative, if I'm understanding you correctly, the way the bill is written is that the tax would end when the bonds are paid.
Madam Chair.
Representative Stevenson.
So then once those bonds are paid off, then that tax comes off of the local area.
That is correct.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative.
Well, Representative Beard, I'm sorry. You know, people know that I have a long memory and I keep vote counts a long time. Unfortunately, I don't always remember to bring them with me when I need them, so they're sitting in my desk on the House floor, and I decided you were honest enough so I didn't have to go back and look at it. But I do have what I call the hypocrisy amendment, which dealt with the votes on two amendments that we had on the House bill. We actually also had those two amendments voted on in order in government operations on the Twins bill. And just to prove that even I get tired of some of these things, I didn't prepare the second part of the of the pair for this bill. But the hypocrisy amendment and the highest level of the hypocrisy amendments, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be partisan on this because it is hypocrisy is a bipartisan trait, but the highest level of hypocrisy did happen to go to Republicans, and that was the people who voted no on the Lencheski amendment, which was to add back the referendum, making speeches similar to the one that you just made about representative democracy and people are elected to make tough decisions and that kind of thing. And then when I came back several amendments later with an amendment that repealed essentially 297A.99, which is the requirement for the referendum on local sales taxes. I remember, I think Representative Peterson gets that high hypocrisy index. So that was the one to repeal it for everything, just on the grounds. Remember, that's not something that's been in the Constitution. That's something that was only added in about 99, and the and so why should we have it on things like hospitals, roads, parks, and so forth, and take it off for a stadium, which I find really offensive. So I'm just asking if you remember. So the high hypocrisy indexes voted no on the Lencheski amendment and then no on the Kahn amendment. Any other combinations were okay. So I just wonder if you remembered how you voted.
Madam Chair.
Knowing that I'll look it up the next time we come to the House floor.
To this point, Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, actually, no, I don't remember how I voted on your amendment. I remember Representative Lencheski's, probably because he was pretty flamboyant about it, and I don't think you were that day. Fortunately, there are three Petersons on the floor, and we're not sure which one gets the high hypocrisy award. But
I know. I was watching. You know, as I said, the highest level were the people who went up and made speeches about Representative Govan. So, okay, I'm sorry I can't tell you now. I probably could with a computer or something, but I'll tell you before this debate is over. For the future, what your hypocrisy level is.
I can hardly
but I apologize to members for not preparing the repeal everything amendment. We did vote on it once and the twins bill and didn't pass it, so I guess I can be excused. But I'm going to support the single-set amendment, even though I'd rather do the repeal everything amendment. But just in my absence of having prepared it, I'll...
Okay, we have two other members with questions. Next up, Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two things now to talk about after Representative Kahn's comment.
Yeah, you are high on the hypocrisy level, too.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. And I was going to confess to being on that list because you and I had a conversation about this. And I will...
can't remember the beard.
I will simply disagree with you in terms of your characterization of hypocrisy. I think... Because I happen to agree with Representative Beard in general. I think that that's our purpose here, and I think I explained that to you when you were visiting about this. However, to say that about a specific proposal and have a philosophy, if you will, about how things should be, to translate that into a broad sweeping, okay, let's do it on everything and everywhere then, I think for me is a bit quick and a bit short. It should be part of debate and part of some more legislative work before I would go along with that. I can tell you, Representative Kahn, that I may be in favor of an amendment such as yours with the philosophy, but to do that very quickly in an amendment on the House floor right after we have a specific one and have a broad sweeping thing, I don't know if that's good government and I don't know if that's good decision-making to do that sort of a thing on a broad sweeping basis, and that's why I did not vote with you on that, Representative Kahn. So, and I would like to think that other people that are high on the hypocrisy index that would have similar thinking. So I'll just leave it at that, Representative Kahn. I'm speaking for myself. If other people want to use that as their argument, that's fine too. Now, to my other question, please. I noticed in the bill, Representative Westerberg, there's an or in here about, and this gets back to Representative McNamara, Representative Tinkleston's amendment. It says you can do either a local sales tax or it looks like an entertainment tax, lodging tax type of thing. And I'm wondering how this referendum would fit in. Now, this particular amendment says only the sales tax imposed would be subject to a referendum. Can you speak a bit to the or part of the sales tax? I think that's a new part of this, the delete all. Is to say they can either do the 0.75% sales tax or the liquor tax, lodging tax, whatever was included in it. Can you speak to that a bit and also maybe how the referendum might affect that?
Okay, Representative Westerberg, quickly,
Madam
please.
Madam Chair and Representative Dempsey, as far as the original proposal in the bill, you know, allowed for a multitude of different types of taxes for the county to be able to guarantee, you know, their portion of the agreement. And to come through with that. And I think that this is just one of those things where we're trying to make sure that this can be accomplished, and so that's why this terminology is in there. As far as I'm certainly going to let Steve Novak here from the county address the issue further, but I think that that's one of those things where this part of the bill is still in play as far as in what can and cannot be done, you know, in order to accomplish the project. And so we'd be open to that discussion.
Okay, Mr. Novak, quickly.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative, just to give you the background of the debate and the vote in January of 2004 that led to the county board passing this resolution. As time has gone on, and it didn't take us very long to figure it out, in Anoka County, and I dare say in every county of the state except for Hennepin County, if you're going to be a major player, albeit a capital investor in a major project like this, nobody in Minnesota, no city, no county except for Hennepin, has the economic strength to be able to produce a bond payment big enough to be an investor of a $200 million area without a countywide sales tax. The law that was passed in 98 or 99 that mandates at this point referendums on sales taxes had nothing to do with stadium debates at the time. It was mostly local projects and so on and so forth. So we wanted to have a menu of taxes available to us, but practically speaking, as it relates to the proposal in front of us, the only tax we would employ would be the sales tax, because it's the only one big enough in Anoka County to produce enough revenue to make a bond payment big enough to allow us to be a participant.
Okay, members, we have lots of amendments today, so if we could move quickly. Representative Neil Peterson.
Madam Chair, I'm going to withdraw. I see Representative Kahn isn't here, so I'll save my comments for later.
Sure. Representative Liebling, quickly, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make the statement, you know, I don't think we need to talk about hypocrisy and all that. I mean, let's just talk dealing with the substance of this issue. You know, I've heard Art Rolnick, who's of the Federal Reserve, speak about this issue of having referenda on local issues like this, and he makes a distinction between having a referendum on an issue where we're building a public project and an issue where there is private gain or potential private gain. And what he says is that it's important to have a referendum where there is potential private gain, because otherwise it smacks of government insiders picking a winner. And I think that's really important to keep in mind. I think that having a referendum, it isn't about us doing our job, and I don't think we have to have a referendum on every single thing. I think we are here to make those decisions, but I think that where this is a very large issue where it may be viewed as a giveaway by a large part of the population, I think that for the legitimacy of the project, I think it's very important that we have a referendum.
Okay, I want to keep moving here, members. I'll renew the motion on the A06 1658 amendment. Representative Westberg.
Madam Chair, members, I just would like to speak against the amendment from the standpoint of some of the discussions that occurred, you know, in the tax committee. I think that the law is written such that it clearly does allow for, you know, special law cases where projects of regional and statewide significance are something that we do have the ability down here to make make some different decisions in how we handle fundings of these projects that are important to people all over the state. And I'd also like to mention that, you know, if you do require a referendum, remember that you are excluding the people from St. Cloud, Thief River, Duluth, Mankato from being able to vote on whether or not a project is successful here, too. The last thing I'd just like to mention on this particular amendment, or not amendment, but this law, it came over from my investigation, and Phyllis is here, she might be able to add some more to this, too, but in 1999, I believe it came over on a Senate Conference Committee report. And so there I would just simply suggest, you know, I'm not sure how much debate actually occurred on that particular issue before it was passed into law.
Mr. Novak, quickly.
Yes, from the standpoint of Anoka County, we would oppose the amendment and pose the question, I guess, whether or not the House really wants to go down a road of having two completely opposite policies for two major projects involving two major sports developments at the same time. We would hope that you wouldn't treat Anoka County any differently than you just got done treating Hampton County.
Okay, to the amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Amendment is not adopted.
Let's take a division on that, Madam Chair.
Division being called. All in favor of the 1658 amendment.
You get a call? Can you get a call, please?
Come on.
Sir. Sir.
Okay. Put them down. All opposed to the 1658 amendment. Okay, you can put them down. There being 9 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. My hearing was okay. Okay, next we're going to do the A5 amendment. Ruth Johnson, I believe that's your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Johnson moves the A5 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Because of the significant amount of state tax dollars which will be involved or which will be foregone in this proposal if it goes forward, I think it's important that the public have the opportunity to participate, at least observe, the meetings of the authority. And certainly it would be equally important for the press to have the opportunity to observe and report to the wider public on what's involved. So I would support the idea that meetings of the authority are subject to open law, open meeting law.
Okay. Representative Johnson's amendment. Questions? It's the A5. H2294A5 relates to open meeting law. Representative Westerberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This seems to make a lot of sense to me, and they simply allow for the open meeting laws to be a part of this process, and we would consider this a friendly amendment.
I'm going to Okay. Representative Demmer.
Madam Chair, is the Metropolitan Sports Commission subject to open meeting laws also?
I'm hearing yes. Who wants to make that official on the record here? Mr. Shepherd.
Madam Chair and members, all public bodies under Chapter 13D are subject to the open meeting law, so I believe that all the Metropolitan Commissions are.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any further questions? All right. Representative Westerberg, did you want to make a comment before we vote? Okay. Representative Ruth Johnson renews her motion on the A5 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay, next one we'd like to do is the A7 amendment, and I believe that's Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. The way the bill was drafted, I had some concerns about the authority that's given in terms of bonding authority and how it's defined. And I consulted with some of our nonpartisan fiscal staff, and they were also sort of confused about and unable to really interpret some of the language related to that. I'm just turning to the page. Page 8, line 1, the sentence that particularly seemed like a broad range of authority that would be unprecedented is that the bonds may be sold at any price and at public or private sales as determined by the authority of the county. And these are public bonds. I think people want to understand that they're sold in a public process, in a fair process that doesn't advantage or enrich any particular particular investor. And so what I am recommending in Amendment A7 is substituting the language that's in the Twins Bill, which refers to the current state law about how a county would establish and sell bonds, rather than establishing some new language in law that even our nonpartisan staff have some real reservations about how one would interpret or use that authority.
Okay, Representative Beard. Oh,
I asked. Thank you, Madam Chair. My question to him first, and he raised his hand. Is a question on bonding in the purview of this committee? Yes.
Well, as it relates to the bill, I would guess. Obviously, this bill would go to taxes, ways, and means, but. Capital investment.
Madam Chair, to that point.
Representative Hoppe.
Ways and Means does all kinds of policy things, and every bill they look at, why shouldn't we do fiscal stuff?
Representative Loeffler.
To that point, the key responsibilities, I think, of government operations are governmental authority and accountability, and it used to be the tradition in the House that this was always the last committee that every bill went to, so that there was consistency in governmental authority and accountability, whether a bill dealt with counties or and came through human services or public safety, or whether it dealt with school districts and came through education, or it dealt with cities and came through local governments. But this was actually supposed to be the primary committee for looking at governmental authorities and accountability provisions, so that there was some consistency and in how we applied those. And so I think this really is very germane, and I do think that granting of bonding authority is a granting of a governmental authority.
Okay. Representative Westerberg, you want to comment on this before we vote?
Madam Chair and members, I'd like to ask Mr. Terry Johnson to comment on this particular amendment.
Mr. Johnson, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Terry Johnson. I'm the Division Manager of Finance for Anoka County.
Madam Chair and Representative Laufer, did you indicate that this is consistent with the language in the TWINS legislation?
That's correct.
Without having Chapter 475.60 in front of me, I've looked this over and I don't think there's any problem with it.
Okay. Representative Westerberg, did you want to comment further?
Well, Madam Chair, we would speak in favor of the amendment. At this time, it doesn't appear that it would cause us any problems for the project to proceed.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Representative Loeffler renews her motion on the A7 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and amendment is adopted. Okay, the next one we're going to do is the A13, and that, I believe, is also Representative Loeffler.
Working with our House research staff, that it probably should have been incorporated into one. While it's going out, I will address Representative Barrett's comment about signing the amendments. Actually, we got to delete everything late yesterday while we were on the floor debating the tax rebate proposal. And our staff works really long and hard, but sometimes they can't get things done really quick, and they asked me if they could just send it directly to the committee to expedite copying, and so that's why it's without authorship. I'm glad to claim my amendment. This one also deals with bonding authority, and it deals with the issue of making it. The bill to me was pretty confusing as to who was responsible for what and what was the accountability. And just like in the Twins bill, I think it should be the county issues the bonds. Rather than this appointed, non-elected authority, which doesn't have any track record in terms of bond rating firms, doesn't have any kind of established standing. And so what it does is this amendment, as drafted, is intended to make sure that it's the county who's issuing the bonds. And the final provisions on this provides that the excess is going to be used to redeem the bonds, and that terminates the tax after we've paid off the bonds. So it's got two components. One is that the authority and the seller of the bonds is the county, and second, that it that any excess goes to redemption of the bonds and terminates the tax once those are paid off.
Okay. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loeffler, in the bill, in the delete all, under the issuance of bonds section, there are two sections there. Under subdivision 1A, the authority would issue bonds, and under paragraph B, the county would issue bonds for its portion of the project. So the way that it's contemplated is that the authority could issue as much as $230 million worth of bonds, which would be what we call the state portion of the project. The $115 million of state share for the on-site infrastructure and a portion of the roof. And if it's desired, the off-site road improvements near the stadium. Later on in the bill, it provides that the county could issue bonds for its piece, which is a total of $280 million plus the cost of issuance. So I think they are separated. We have been working with the Department of Finance on that issue, and you know, we haven't come to final resolution on that, but I think there is a rationale for having the authority issue a portion of the bonds and the county issue a portion.
Okay, questions? Representative Loeffler.
Well, Madam Chair, and to the witness, I just think that if these are going to be public bonds primarily for public purposes, they ought to be issued by an elected, accountable agency with a financial track record that the bond houses and the bond rating agencies will respect. And, you know, you can continue your discussions with the Department of Finance as this evolves, but I really feel like this ought to be a pretty clean sort of approach, and we ought to have the public agencies responsible here. And I think that was part of the problem for many of us when we got the revised delete everything late yesterday afternoon, is that the bill is pretty confusing in terms of who's responsible for what, and sometimes it's joint and sometimes it's separate, and I'm not sure it all lines up correctly in the bill draft as we were presented. And so I'm trying to get it out of this committee with some really clear lines. If at different points you feel like you need to debate changing that. I think it just needs to be clear to the people who are passing the bill along who's responsible for what.
Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, I think that more important than the agency that's issuing will be the revenue streams and the perceived credit quality of the revenue streams that back up bonds.
Okay, we have a couple members with questions. First is Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't pretend to be an authority on this bonding type thing. A couple thoughts. First of all, the authority is a public entity, and I think they would have that. They would be able to do that. They are a public entity as we establish them. Secondly, it seems to me that if they are going to put out bonds, that the market would determine the safety and or the appropriateness of them doing that based on the revenue stream, and the pricing would be done accordingly. It also says in the bill that it's very clear that there's no public, the state or the counties or whatever are not going to be on the hook as general obligation. And I guess my last thought and a question, I guess, would be is this unprecedented that an authority like this would issue bonds? Does the Metropolitan Sports Council, do other authorities like this issue bonds that are outside of a county or a municipality or something like that?
Mr. Johnson, or you have someone else coming forward?
This point. Madam Chair, Representative Demmer, I'm not completely certain. I believe that certain sports authorities do. Steve Yanish from RBC Dan Rauscher is here, who represents the Vikings and could answer that probably.
Madam Chair.
To this point, Representative.
Yeah, while he's coming, let me just observe that the Metropolitan Airport Commission, Metropolitan Council, and Metropolitan Waste Control Commission all issue bonds, and they're all appointed and largely confirmed by the Senate. They don't hold election certificates, but they've done a pretty marvelous job of issuing them and being accountable over the years. And that you can take me off the list because that was my comment
okay.
for this point.
Thank you.
So if I could, Representative Beard, is that analogous more than to what this would be in your opinion?
Representative Beard.
Well, perhaps, Madam Chair, we should let someone else speak to that, but sort of. This committee is overseeing and observing the process of creating this public authority that actually will own and operate the stadium. We have in years past created the Airport Commission, created the Metropolitan Council, created the Waste Control Commission, and I'm sure, and the Metropolitan Sports Stadium Commission, which controls the Metrodome, all of which have had bonding authority and all of, you know, the organization and responsibilities of those structures, those commissions and agencies have gone through this committee and have been done before. So I guess we're not blazing new ground here.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, my name is Steve Yanish. I'm an investment banker with RBC Dane Rauscher in Minneapolis and represent the Minnesota Vikings. And as the representative correctly noted, you know, numerous third-party special purpose boards routinely issue bonds, whether it's for sports stadiums or other purposes, whether it's here in Minnesota or other states. If I could speak to the amendment, and I think the intent of the bill was to divide the issuance into two parts. Was to have Anoka County issue its bonds backed by its sales tax, and was to have the commission or the sports authority issue its bonds backed by the various sales tax increments that have been proposed in the bill. So it was a division. And as to how the market would look at that, the market, as was noted earlier, really does look to the security more so than the issuer. It's really more important as to the credit package an investor would look at. That's the way Moody's would look at it. That's the way Standard & Poor's would look at it.
Okay. Anything further, Representative Demmer?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any other questions on the 813 Amendment? Representative Wardlaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was looking at the amendment, the last three lines where they want any excess to go completely towards paying off the bonds as opposed in the bill itself, the DE1 amendment, where any excess could either be going towards payment of the bonds or for transportation or public safety. Could you speak to that, why you would not want to pay off the bonds, or just enlighten me a little bit on your thoughts on that? If you look on page 12 of your DE1, the
Madam Chair, I think the question of excess really runs to two questions. Now, let Anoka County people speak to the county excess, but there's a plan to use excess on the county's portion for the county bonds. That's a separate question for the bonds being proposed by the authority. We would not be proposing to use excess at all. excess would go back to the state. So all we would use on the authority bonds would be the revenue needed so that we wouldn't capture any excess. Any excess would go back to the state. Carrie, you want to speak to the...
Mr. Johnson.
Representative. The county understands that with this project there will be a number of new needs and new issues that come along with it, notably transportation and public safety. And while we do intend to try to defease these bonds as early as possible, we also recognize that there may be some needs that we need to address and that within our existing operating budget and so forth, that may be difficult. And so we sought to give ourselves some flexibility and the opportunity to make some of those improvements if they're needed as it relates to the stadium. And those improvements could be throughout Anoka County. But primarily it would relate to issues that involve the stadium and the development nearby.
Okay. Yeah, we have a couple members yet. Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, to that point, you know, I think that we need to look at what we've done with the Twin Stadium. I think we need to look at our, you know, what we have accepted as a body and not. And we have not given. I mean, we actually even turned down, in fact, it was this committee that took away the library and youth sports money that was in the original proposal coming out of Hennepin County, which was a minimal $4 million a year. This bill says that Anoka County, if we don't adopt this language, would have excess when sales are far higher than projected in the new shopping mall, when, you know, there's other revenues beyond what they project, that they would have a new unprecedented revenue stream that no other county has to use for its transportation and public safety needs. And I don't think that's a good governmental precedent for us to establish. I think the precedent of saying you collect the money, you pay off the bonds, and you stop the tax is, I think, a tradition that we ought to honor. And we shouldn't use a stadium proposal as a way to grant anyone local government an ongoing revenue stream that isn't dedicated in any specific way. I supported the Hennepin County trying to get something for our kids, but, you know, this is much broader. This potentially is hundreds of millions of dollars.
Representative Neil Pearson.
Madam Chair, and I agree with that. I think that was part of the issue on the Twins bill, was that when you are passing this without the referendum, then you need to be very specific about defeasing those bonds with the proceeds. And this flies in the face of what we did with the Twins, and I agree with it. I was going to suggest to the author she'd want to split this emotion, or her amendment, excuse me, at between line 1.13 and 1.14, and I would be willing to, or one, yeah, I assume it's 1.4 and 1.5. After line 1.14, if the amendment would be split, I would be willing to support the last four lines. But I understand the financial requirements to have two issuing bodies, so I agree with the author of the bill on the first part of this amendment.
Representative Loeffler, you have a comment to...
If the committee would like to deal with each issue separately, I have no problem with that. I would suggest that it be between 1.13 and 1.14, because I think that honors your intent, and I think that's what maybe Mark Shepard is suggesting. Okay. Over your shoulder.
Okay. So we have the 813 amendment. Did you want to divide that?
I will make the motion to divide the amendment between line 113 and 114, so there are two different issues. Yes. And I would ask that we vote on the second half first.
Okay. Neil Pearson has amended the amendment here.
Just dividing it.
Okay. And we'll vote on the second half first. Okay. To that, yes, Representative Dimmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick question. This is dealing with the excess tax revenues over and above what's needed for financing. I don't see here, what if the sales tax revenues are not sufficient to cover the bond payments? Maybe Mr. Novak, can you comment on that? I probably dealt with it. I didn't see it quickly.
Madam Chair, Representative
We believe that the sales tax revenues are significant. Right now, the Anoka County economy under that tax would produce $18 to $20 million per year to cover the bond payment. And we think that that's fiscally accurate projection. Mr. Johnson can speak to it specifically. We've got actual figures.
Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, Representative, these would be revenue bonds, and we have used a factor of 1.25 to 1.5 coverage, so we are comfortable that there will be sufficient revenues to make the debt service payments, and it's that coverage that creates the excess or surplus annually.
Madam Chair, to that point.
That doesn't answer the question. What if it doesn't, for some reason or another, the sales tax doesn't come in? What happens? That's what the question was. It wasn't, you know, what are you projecting? The question is, what if it doesn't meet projections? What happens?
Right.
Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, Representative, the bonds would be special revenue obligations payable solely from the revenue stream generated by the 0.75 sales tax. So in that unlikely situation, the bondholders would be at risk.
All right. Anything further there on the second half of the amendment? So we'll vote on that. Mr. Novak.
The only other point I would make in defense of the bill on this provision is, you know, Anoka County is a county of about 300,000 people. Hennepin County is about 2.5 million. It's a very strong economic engine. Anoka County's at the table with $200 million, $280 million for over 3 years now. Anoka County is the fourth fastest growing county in the state, and according to the state DOT, over the next 20 years, we're going to receive one intersection. And so, you know, we have been trying to provide reasonable ways that we can provide additional benefits to our community as a result of investing in this project. And so, there's not going to be hundreds of millions of dollars of excess revenue, and if the committee wants to consider some sort of a rational cap or something, this is a projection into the future. We're trying to give ourselves some flexibility to deal with what I think we would all agree will be a major project involving lots of people, transportation, and public safety needs, and that's why the provision is in the bill the way it is.
Representative Wofler.
Madam Chair and speakers and members, I just think the information that's been shared with us makes my point. They are conservatively estimating the revenues, which is a good financial practice, and it will give, you know, assurance to the bondholders. But at the same time, by doing that, they are giving themselves $2 to $10 million a year, depending on how conservative they are, of additional revenue that no other county gets, to get themselves to the head of the line on needed transportation improvements or new police substations or new vehicles for the sheriff department. And I just think if Anoka County feels it has a good case for why it needs to have a special revenue source to recognize its unique needs, that ought to go through local government and taxes as a separate bill, and that we ought to just keep this bill clean like the Twins bill was and have it be about meeting the stadium needs and not about additional revenue streams for any other purpose.
Representative Westerberg, before we vote on this.
Madam Chair and members, I would just speak against the second half of this amendment. The deal is put together, you know, a deal is a deal is a deal, and obviously, you know, there are intricate parts of the deal that have all been put together here, but I want to, and we need all those pieces to make it work. But I also want to point out the fact that Anoka County, out of 87 counties in our state, is ranked, like I believe, fourth in being fiscally conservative. And I think that that's an important factor to take into consideration, too. It's not like, even though we are imposing this particular situation here, it's not a spend-happy county. And I think that they've been very prudent in their past performance, and as such, I would speak against this.
Okay. Representative Kahn, and then we'll go to Mr. Yan.
Just briefly, is to emphasize what Representative Wofler said, this is equivalent to what Representative Neil Peterson did to Hennepin County in this committee on the Twins Bill, where exactly we said a deal is a deal is a deal, and you shouldn't touch it except when it further mucks up the county. So
Mr.
we did it to Hennepin County, we should be able to do it to it. And I imagine everything you stated about Anoka County was known to the county commissioners when they decided to go into this.
Mr. Yanish.
Mr. Madam Chair, just to clarify from the investor perspective, the bonds would not be marketable. Noble County bonds would not be marketable if we had a one-to-one coverage. We do need to make those bonds marketable, 1.25 to 1.5 coverage. So while it's conservative, it's necessary. Without that coverage, that at least that much, we would not be able to market those bonds.
Okay. Representative
Khan. As I understand it, the excess goes to redeem or defease the bond. Mm-hmm. So it has nothing. So it's not. It's only being. So it's nothing taken away from the bonds in any sense.
Mr. Yanish.
Madam Chair, the amount of collections you need to show an investor that for every dollar of debt service, there is $1.25 or $1.50 of revenue, sales tax revenue. It has to be there each year.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Mr. Yanish, that doesn't change with this. This just says that the extra, it goes to paying off the bonds instead of going to Anoka County for other purposes. If I were a bond buyer, I would actually like that because that makes my investment even more secure because any extra is dedicated to my interests.
Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, a final point on that. Our thinking was that we could have a situation where we have a need, whether it's transportation or public safety, that is escalating in cost at a much higher rate than the cost of interest on the bonds, and it made economic sense to be able to move forward to fix whatever the problem was out of that 4.5% money, if you will, rather than having to wait till the bonds are paid off to be able to address it.
Okay, and so we're going to take a vote here. We're looking at the second half here, and it's lines 1.14 through 1.18, correct? Okay. Representative Westerberg, you want one final comment here before we vote?
I just to speak against it.
Okay. To this part of the amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Motion does not prevail. Amendment is not adopted.
Let's take a division.
Okay, let's do a division on that. All in favor of this part of the amendment, raise your hand.
Yeah.
Okay, you can put them down. All opposed, raise your hand.
Hearing deteriorated.
Okay, there being 16 ayes and 5 nays, the motion does prevail, and that part of the amendment is adopted. Okay, my hearing was bad on that. All right, we're going to do the first part now, lines 1.1 through 1.3 on the Loeffler Amendment A13. Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair, and to the people who provided additional information about some other authorities that are sort of, most of those, as I recall, that were rattled off, and I'm not as familiar with some of them as others might be in the room, it seemed to me that most of those authorities actually include elected officials as a component of their membership. I don't know if it's dominant, but certainly are a key thing. And part of my issue was about, you know, sort of the elected official versus the appointed. I'm just wondering if that's the difference or if I'm just learning. I'm still, we have more authorities in this state than I know a lot about. So to that point, if there's anyone who can offer insight.
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, to a couple of them that I'm intimately familiar with, the elected officials are expressly prohibited from serving on the MAC and the Met Council. You actually have to be a regular citizen that's appointed from certain jurisdictions. Yeah. You have to be an irregular citizen as opposed to an irregular citizen. That's correct.
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair, this may need some more work as it goes along, but I still think the idea of making the accountabilities clear, and as I read through the amendment, it was really confusing to me as to what the authority was accountable for versus the county. And I think that needs to be addressed somehow in this bill, whether it's through this amendment or through others. I think if we put it all in all its county, then somebody has to explain and go through and pull out which one should be the authority. But I think right now it's a hybrid that doesn't necessarily track real clearly.
Okay, we're looking at the first half, the A13 amendment, that's lines 1.1 through 1.13. Representative Westerberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This part of the amendment I would really speak strongly against at this time. It's not that we're opposed to accountability. I think that certainly is important, and I'd be happy to work with Representative Loeffler here as this bill moves forward to try to accomplish what it is she's seeking to do. But at this time, I would certainly oppose the first half of this amendment.
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair, at this point, I'd withdraw that, and I can work with the author on trying to sort this out, but I think people understand what the issue is.
Thank you, Representative Loeffler. Withdraws the first half of the A13 amendment. Okay, next up is A4. Representative Kahn, I believe, is that yours?
Yeah. Madam Chairman, can we do A3 first? I think that's an easier one.
Okay. Representative Kahn moves the A3 amendment.
Yes. Chairman and members, I have discussed this with the author, and at the time I discussed him, I thought it was okay. What we have, the part that we're repealing, Minnesota Statute 473.5995, was done at the time we were doing the, putting various bills together, and we put up a football account. At that time, what was being studied was looking at a combination Gopher-Vikings stadium, and it seemed reasonable that the sale for the Metrodome should go into that, as it was two out of the three, points. Sorry. Can't send calls here, but somehow I can receive them. Okay. It was also being looked at in the site that was being looked at was a site in Minneapolis, which was a big supplier of the funds for the Metrodome. So now it seems to have this in a football account, and I'm not sure how that would be spent or where it would go. Doesn't seem right to fit along with this bill. So I'm not able to figure out exactly what should happen to it, but it seemed to me that I've laid out how this account should be dealt with, and that the sale of, so we set up a Metrodome proceeds account instead of the football account, and we send it, and we have that go to the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission, and they will make recommendations to the legislature concerning the appropriate division of the sale proceeds, and the viable people to participate in that ought to be the City of Minneapolis, the University of Minnesota, the Minnesota Twins, and the Minnesota Vikings. People had given me something that had a proportion of how it should be decided, but it seems to me let's just put it into a decision process. Let's have that decision process come back to the legislature, and we'll have, and obviously the sale of the Metrodome will not occur until well after all of these things take place. So I think that this is a more thoughtful and a fairer process for doing that.
Okay, to the A3 amendment. Representative Neil Pearson.
Representative Kahn, why did we did something like this in the Twins?
In the Twins, I did.
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I did an amendment on the floor which took the proceeds of the sale of the Metrodome and sent it totally to Hennepin County at that time. And arguments were made that was not necessarily the right thing to do. I think this sets up a process that's fair and thoughtful and makes sense.
I'm just... I'm thinking out loud.
It doesn't make any sense.
Since the ground that was the old Met Center was conscripted from the city of Bloomington, and then when it was sold to... Bloomington ended up paying $17 million to the Metropolitan Count, Sports Facilities Commission for that ground to buy it back. Should Bloomington be included in that?
Well, I'm not sure because one of the things that happens, I believe Minneapolis paid for that thing in Bloomington. I believe that was largely a Minneapolis.
$2.25, I think, is what it was, something like that.
We
still have to develop.
This has this has some process to go, and I think you're on for the committees that can add Bloomington
to it. Well, I'm
giving
my
not.
Height of hypocrisy. Here. I'm just wondering if we can get away with it here.
And clearly what happens is that we'll get a report, Metropolitan Sports Commission can take all that into it, and then the legislature will decide how that's divided at a later time.
Follow-up question. Will that agency dissolve at that point? Once that facility is sold, do they cease to exist? Are we dealing with that at this time, too?
I'm not sure, but they... You know, they can still do the report as it's being sold. They can do, you know, they'll have plenty of time to work on it. They don't dissolve just because we set up this other authority. They don't dissolve, I believe, until the Metrodome is. So they have plenty of time to work on it.
Okay, Gertel Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kahn, have you considered whether or not the state should be included in this?
I don't think the state put anything into it, Mr. Chairman. I don't think the state put anything into the Metrodome. It was backed by a Minneapolis. The first site part was backed by a Metropolitan Council sales tax, and then after that, the whole construction was backed by a Minneapolis sales tax. And then obviously the additional improvements and things, you know, these people all participated in it. I couldn't think of any way of doing what would be my instincts might have been to give it all back to Minneapolis, but I thought that this letting some process go forward made a lot more sense.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, under your language here in this amendment, would that account for the demolition of the facility?
It's the net sale proceeds. So obviously the net sale proceeds ought to account for that.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions on the A3 amendment? Representative Westerberg, let's get a comment from you on A3.
Madam Chair and members, on this particular amendment, I guess I'd be, you know, we're pretty much neutral to it. As far as I'm not sure that it belongs really here on this bill, but I like the fact that it would come back to the legislature, you know, for consideration, and I think that... you know, recognizing where the money has come from is certainly important in building these facilities, and there should be, it does provide some measure of accountability, too. But, Madam Chair, Lester Bagley would like to comment on this.
Mr. Bagley.
Madam Chair, members, just a brief comment. As Representative Kahn noted, the current law states that proceeds of the Metrodome would go to the football stadium account, and the amendment has the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Committee making recommendations. We would feel more comfortable with some language or some direction that the Sports Commission would have some direction to deliver back proceeds in some proportion to the entities that put money in, rather than having discretion to make a recommendation to the legislature, so some legislative oversight or some notion of proportionality in terms of which organizations or entities have contributed, because in terms of the private sector and the tenants of the Metrodome, the Vikings have contributed a lion's share of the operating revenues at the Metrodome.
Actually, the city of Minneapolis the operating activities of the Metrodome has little to do with, I think, what the net proceeds will be after it's sold. I mean, that just dealt with every year. I do have something that lists the what the funding was in the city of Minneapolis, what the original funding was in the city of Minneapolis is the lion's share of that. I thought, though, by having a report and by having it come back to the legislature, all those points could be made at that time. But I think everyone agrees with me that football account was to look at the Gophers. What we were talking about then was the Gophers and the Vikings together at a site next to the university. So it's it seems we shouldn't leave that alone as it is now.
Representative Westberg.
Madam Chair and Representative Kahn, I agree, and I understand the report you're looking at, you know, $24 million from Minneapolis and $5 million from the Vikings and $1 million from the Twins type of thing. But I think that besides the construction revenue that went into building the Metrodome, you want to take into consideration the operating expenses of the history of the Metrodome, and there, that's where,
well,
you know, the Twins and Vikings have been big players in the success of that whole facility.
Madam Chairman, that's why I didn't do the division myself. That's why I said that they would come up with a report. I'm sure that that would be considered when they made their recommendation, and I'm sure it would be further considered when the legislature made the decision. And I think that this is just a reasonable way to go about it.
Okay, Representative Beard.
Or, Madam Chair, how about the monster truck pulls and the Billy Graham crusade and the rock concerts and everything else that contributed to success? But really, my question is Representative Kahn. Because I had to step out for a moment, I missed some of this discussion. My most burning concern, though, is if I vote for this or against it, what list am I on?
If you're both for it,
I'm just funning with her, Madam
Chair. Madam Chair, just an explanation, though, it's a good opportunity. If you vote for it, you're on the list that's in favor of good, responsible, fair government.
Okay. Representative Westerberg. I think we're getting close to vote here. Which way?
He said neutral.
Well, Madam Chair, you know, like I said earlier here, I was neutral on the amendment. And I guess we'd leave that up to the will of the body.
Okay. To the A3 amendment, Representative Kahn renews her motion. All in favor of the A3 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay, next one, A4. Take that one down, Representative Kahn.
Yeah. Chairman, Madam Chairman, A4 amendment is this real, takes out this kind of really weird language in the delete everything amendment that maybe somebody would like to defend. Look at which essentially gives the assessment authority, gives the authority control over all assessments, which is just weird. It's not an elected. They, you know, if they're assessed. Look at page 4, line 35. Says all assessments are subject to final confirmation by the authority whose determination of the benefits is conclusive upon the political subdivision levying the assessment. I just think that that's a power that we haven't given to anybody. That they would have all, they would have, you know, this language of its final confirmation, and so Anoka County couldn't make. And remember, this is more than, I believe, just the stadium. It's the whole area all around it, too. So I just think that's a little sweeping authority that we don't want to give to this appointed authority.
Representative Westberg.
Mr. Chair and members, at this time it does not appear to be a problem for the bill to accept this as a friendly amendment. I say that, you know, with the limited amount of time we've had to look at it, but at this time it seems like it would be a friendly amendment.
Any questions from members? Seeing none, Representative Kahn renews her motion for Amendment A4. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Nay. The amendment is attached. And the next amendment, members, will be the A9 amendment. And who would be the author to that amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Loeffler.
I actually think this would be easier to handle if we took, since we're at, I think, the last amendment as handling my A6 amendment. Because it relates to that same concept.
Okay. Sorry. Representative Laufer, now, can you give us a little bit of a background on what the A6 Amendment does here?
I would be glad to, Mr. Chair.
Just Representative clarification, so now we're doing the A6 Amendment?
We're trying to decide which one, what the justification Representative Laufer would have to bring the A6 before the A9 here.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Laufer.
Well, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I actually had envisioned some of these small amendments as sort of like a different approach. But the A6 amendment, at which A9 reflects one tiny little piece, is basically creating, matching the precedent and the provisions of the twin bill. And, you know, this bill, when I got it yesterday on the floor of the House, as we're trying to debate the tax provisions, I kept noting, and you guys know I'm someone who reads the bill and circles things and asks Mr. Shepard about a lot of things, and it was clear that this bill was not drafted as cleanly and didn't show the kind of work that the twins bill had in terms of just fixing up lots of things. The twins bill had the benefit of six different committees and hundreds of hours of consideration and amendments. And rather than bringing lots of little changes related to that, I thought, instead, why don't we use the twins bill as sort of the basis? And it only deals with the governance and accountability. It doesn't deal with the amount of money the Vikings pay versus Anoka pays. So I think it's related to this. It addresses a variety of issues that I'd be glad to do. But the basic concept is this is a stadium bill. And we'll use the twins' precedents and provisions as the base. It matches them in clear authority and accountability and language and all kinds of different things that were worked out in various different committees. It recognizes that it is a state facility and a state purpose, as is in the purpose provisions of the law. And that is, we rejected on the House floor calling it the Hennepin Twins. And so I thought that instead of calling this the Anoka Blaine Ballpark Authority, we ought to call it the Minnesota Football Authority.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, I wonder if you could quiet down the room. It's getting very...
Members in the audience, please, we're kind of pushed on a time limit here, and we'd like to get through this as quickly as possible, so it would help if we could keep the noise down in the chambers. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Liebling. And so that it clearly says, you know, this is the state authority. It uses the exact same model, the same composition, the same open meeting things, the same requirements that they have a website that announces meetings of the ballpark and posts their ballpark authority and posts their minutes. Has the same provision that the title cannot be sold or transferred without legislative authority. That members of the authority shall not have been a county or city official for 2 years. It has the relationship to a variety of those kind of little provisions, affirmative, recruitment of minority and women contractors in the construction, binding and enforceable leases and agreements regarding default, breach, termination, the environmental requirements regarding to having public books and records, project labor agreements. They have the Vikings name retention, which I thought was pretty clever in the twin bill, that actually if anyone did sell the team, we actually get to keep the name. And that we get to keep the history of the Vikings, even if they were to sell the team at some point. And so it has, as much as possible, I'd ask Mark Shepard to duplicate those provisions. It's a little, awkward, but it's basically those kind of provisions that are in the Twins bill. It also, though, makes it a clean stadium-only bill. And that is what the public is debating. That's the feedback that I'm getting. It's what the title of the bill is that has been publicly displayed, which is an Anoka County football stadium financing provided, stadium authority established, and county authorized to levy and collect certain taxes. So this makes it a stadium-only bill, which means it is not an Anoka County development bill. It does not address the 1.2 million square feet of retail, the 800,000 square feet of office and corporate space. It does not address, you know, all the, you know, the transportation improvements going to the top of the line in a process outside of our normal transportation decision-making process. This makes it a very clean Viking stadium-only bill. And I'm not making any aspersions for or against Mr. Wilf's investment in the community, his willingness to do a major development that could be a major economic boost to the northern metro area. It just says this is a stadium bill, and the development of Anoka County or any other county ought to go forward, just like the TIF bills that have been going forward separately, reviewed separately in local government and in the tax committee as a separate entity. So this says you don't get to sort of hide a major development with major ramifications for taking state taxes in a new increment to support that development. Instead, it just makes it a stadium bill, and it's very transparent.
I'm sorry, Representative Loeffler. As I go through this, I've asked you to explain the A6 just to make a determination on the flow of the amendments at this point. Mm-hmm. I would like to pick up Representative McNamara's amendment and then go to the A9, and we're going to hold this one until last.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, I think that Representative Loeffler has two amendments that relate to. I don't think there's any objection to going to Representative McNamara's amendment, but I think Representative Loeffler ought to be able to determine the direction of the amendments she wants to offer because it fits in with how she thinks about it. No objection to going to Representative McNamara's amendment, though.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, members, and the A12 amendment is basically, if you remember my previous question.
Representative McNamara moves the A12 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A12 amendment, members, is basically a follow-up to my previous conversation this morning with Mr. Wolf, that his willingness to do similar to the twins with the 18% proceeds to the county. I think it gives a very substantial amount of protection for the county, and I thought it was important that we get this incorporated because of the team's willingness to do that. And I know Representative Loeffler has an interim amendment, but my concern, Representative Loeffler, is that I want to be sure this gets on, and so that's why I would ask that we do this one first, and I appreciate your willingness. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Questions on the A12 amendment? Representative Westerberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative McNamara, I just want to check now, is this the exact same terminology that's in the twins bill? Because I thought in the twins bill it was for 10 years.
No. You amended.
Madam Chair, Representative Westerberg. It was through the life on the twins bill, if I remember right, it was flat for a number of years and then had a graded percentage down to zero towards the end. That was amended on the House floor to be a flat 18% through the life of it.
And so, Madam Chair,
Westerberg.
So this amendment would just be for the term of the bonds.
Correct. If the bonds got, it's just a protection for the taxpayers. And if the bonds got paid out, that's my intention, Representative Westerberg, that it would only be for the life of the bonds. If it needs to get tweaked, Mr. Wolf gave us his word at 18%. That's all I wanted, and he gave it right here in committee, and I'm okay with that, and that's basically what this is.
And we'd accept that as a friendly amendment.
Madam Chair, I'm getting direction from Mr. Shepard that there might be a need for a little change. He's just whispering in my ear.
Okay. As that's coming together, let's take a question from Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McNamara, or maybe somebody else can answer this. Why did we choose 18%? Why that number? I know it's on the twins, but why 18%?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Demmer. That percentage was negotiated between the Hennepin County Commissioners and the twins. After, just so the members know, it's unprecedented across the nation, the willingness of both the Vikings now and the Minnesota Twins to step forward and say, you know, we want to stay here, we want to play here, and we understand that the value of the team may increase with the new ballpark or the new stadium. And so that was negotiated that percentage. And I think Representative Demmer, it was they tried to arrive at some kind of a perceived value, but I don't know exactly how they arrived at the percentage.
Madam Chair, then the question then is because that's the way the Twins did it. That's the answer. There's
that,
no, I mean,
that,
why not
that's
17
my,
or 19 or...
Yep. Okay. That's my reason that's for presenting. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, could I...
McMahon.
Madam Chair and members, on line 1.6... I put my glasses on.
This is on the 812 Amendment.
On the 812 Amendment, line 1.6, after the word act, insert, and before the bonds are defeased. Defeased. Boy, that's bigger than a landscape word. Well, I'm going to go back
down here.
But it's in the bill. It's in the amendment already, so I'll be able to spell it. D E, F as in Frank, E A S E. So, members, what it'll read on line 1.6: act and before the bonds are defeased, comma.
So it's E D, comma. Yeah. Okay, and Representative McNamara incorporates that within the 812 amendment. Did everybody get that? We need to repeat it. Okay. Further questions to the 812 amendment as amended? Well, actually, he incorporated it, so. Okay. Representative Westerberg.
Well, Madam Chair, we, again, would accept this as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Take a vote. All in favor of the 812 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay. Next, we're going to... Okay. Yep. Representative Paz has an amendment that I think was distributed. It may not have a... Okay, it's coming around. We're calling it the Haas 01 amendment. And do you have a copy in front of you, Representative Haas?
Yes, I do.
And so if you want to start talking about it, Representative Haas moves the H of the House...
This
01 amendment.
This would be the dyad relationship for if the people don't get the vote, then they may have initiative referendum and cause a vote. This was done with the Twins bill on the floor. Failed on the Twins bill, by the way. When that gets out, we need to add page 12, line 18, before 2, insert A, and page 12, after line 30, insert, and that's the material that's being sent out. It's the written material being sent out now. It would be publication.
Yeah.
Of
you repeat that? I think line 1.2 is cut off. So where is this going? Page 12.
Page 12, line 18, before 2, insert A. Is that correct, Mr. Shepherd?
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes. Page 12, after line 30, insert, and that's the material that is being sent around. And that is the initiative referendum material, which would be publishing in the paper, 5% of the last general election to overrule your commissioners.
Okay, Representative Westberg, you have a copy of this, right?
Yes.
Okay, first let's take Representative Cypher's question.
Well, Madam Chair, I understand people's objection to having a forced referendum based on what Representative Demmer and Representative Beard have talked about, but... We have had in our tax bill many times that people are running around in snowstorms getting petitions signed to empower themselves to vote on something because they're being taxed. I think this is kind of the modest compromise, and I understand the argument about a forced referendum, but if you've got people running around in snowstorms, there's something going on, and I can't imagine why we have to be so much in favor of these things that we can't even allow the electorate to do a reverse referendum. Is it getting that much that we can't allow one nugget of democracy? I understand forced referendums, but that argument I think was made pretty eloquently by Beard and Demmer. But reverse referendum, we've done it for property taxes in our bill, our omnibus bill. I think Abrams had it 4 years in a row, and it had pretty broad bipartisan support for property taxes, for property tax reform. So in my opinion, if people have a voice and their property tax is going up too much, they can do a reverse referendum. And frankly, I think it would be very rarely used because you got to have 100%. Thousands. How many people? It's going to be in the thousands. So if you've got a voting population in the hundreds of thousands in Anoka County,
and
it's not a minor threshold. So I've stayed pretty quiet on this bill so far, but I think this is, you know, physically, I don't know how this bill would get to the floor because I made a little chart here, and we'd have to meet on Saturday and Sunday for floor re-referrals for this bill even to get to the floor. But, you know, let's at least give some little nugget of democracy here. This would be my thought.
Follow-up, Representative Hogg.
Madam Chair, committee members, what he said.
Okay. Representative Westerberg.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd certainly speak against the Haas Amendment. I think that we should really consider this similarly, as we did on the House floor, you know, with the Twins bill. Again, we're comparing this to what we've already done for one stadium proposal, and this was defeated on the House floor for that stadium proposal, too. And members, if you look at it, I think if you take a close look at what this amendment is, it says basically that 5%, 5% of people, I mean a small, very, very, very small number of people could force this reverse referendum to have to happen. And members, I'd ask you to vote this amendment down.
Okay. Any other questions on this amendment? Okay. Representative Haas renews his motion on his 01 amendment. In discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Amendment is not adopted. Okay, we're going to move on here. There's just a couple left, and actually the A8 amendment is not being offered, so that's one you can push to the side in your papers there. That'll shorten things up a bit. And next up is the A6 amendment. Representative Loeffler moves the A6 amendment. Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, just to refresh your memory, the chair was out of the room at the time that I did a little brief overview of this, but this basically says we're going to have a Twins, we're using the Twins as the base, we're going to have, this is makes it a stadium-only bill, using all of the same language that has gotten refined as the Twins bill went through many, many amendments and refinements through the legislative process. We just heard Representative Seifert say that he can't figure out how it could go through all those committees. Well, perhaps this will shorten some of the work that needs to be done by using the language and addressing all the issues that were raised related to the Twins. And it, once again, just matches the Twins language exactly. This is not my language. This is what was... I asked Mark Shepard, our nonpartisan counsel, to draft it exactly as the Twins bill emerged. And it does recognize the House floor votes that we had to say that it wouldn't be the Hennepin Twins, so this changes the ballpark authority from the Anoka-Blaine ballpark authority to the Minnesota Football Authority in name, and has the same membership approach and requirements for membership as in the Twins bill. It has as revised, it just deals with the stadium. It doesn't deal with state funding of transportation. It doesn't deal with new creative forms of sales increments for development related to the 740 acres. It brings it back down like the Twin Stadium to the 20-acre sort of, you know, concept of the actual ballpark. And so that in the eyes of the public and in our members and in our consideration, if this is the year of the stadium, we only deal with the stadium. And that other development dreams ought to be handled separately as a separate bill. And I would just say that in introducing this, Mr. Wolf said, please give us the same consideration as the Twins. And this is that. The Twins did not bring a revitalization, and Hennepin County didn't bring a revitalization of downtown Minneapolis or my dreams of redoing the Northeast Riverfront or anything else and tied it on. This says we have a clean stadium bill. As Representative Westerberg just said on the last amendment, we should look at what was done in the House floor regarding the Twins, and this makes it happen. And it addresses, like I said, all of the issues as you scan through the amendment that are government operations issues that were dealt with by others in terms of bylaws, the need to give notice of meetings, data practices, the provisions related to title to the stadium not being able to be transferred or sold prior to the legislature addressing it, provisions related to employees, making sure that the agreement with the team is binding and enforceable, providing that there's a right of first refusal, that they comply with our environmental requirements, that it has the 18% public share upon sale of the team that Representative McNamara just brought forward. It says that the books and records of the train will be there. There will be affordable access without strikes or lockouts. It has the same provisions regarding youth and amateur sports, retention of the name, and has the same community ownership provisions as with the Twins, which is just giving an option if the team is to be sold for that option to be looked at. And so this, I think, will make for a much cleaner public debate in the next 3 weeks. We only have 3 weeks left on the Vikings. And we'll honor the title of the bill, which is that this is about a stadium and how to finance it.
Okay, to the A6 Amendment. Representative Dempsey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking on page 4, line 4.28. I'd like an explanation, please. And I specifically am concerned I'm on line 4.29, mm-hmm. or other agreements. I don't understand what that would be.
Okay, this is to Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Representative Dempsey, this is the exact same language that is in the Twins proposal that we passed off the floor. And my understanding is that this would just assure that once construction is started and once the public debt has been incurred and the taxes are being collected, that in constructing it, there should be an agreement with those who are constructing it to make sure that there is no strikes or lockouts that will, you know, put a stop to development of the stadium that is publicly authorized. And so this just says we want, you know, to sell the bonds, start levying the taxes, and move forward in a way that is smooth and doesn't get locked out in other ways. And it's the exact same language as was in the Twins bill.
Follow up, Representative Dempsey.
I would like you to answer on line 4.29, what are other agreements? And so you make an agreement that that you hire all non-labor union construction people. Is that what you're saying that is there?
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Representative Dempsey, there's a lot of different ways you can proceed with constructing a major multi-hundreds of million a dollar sort of facility. And I think there's a variety of different models and a variety of different agreements have been used in different models beforehand. This just says when you sign a construction contract, you have to have a provision that says the workers working on that project have agreed they will not strike or lock out or, you know, stop the free movement of that. And so this gives the team and Anoka County and the football authority the ability to work that out with an expectation that this will clearly move forward. And I think it assures that our public investment is made wisely by a group of people who will do it in a timely basis. Fashion in which the contractors are working together. I can't imagine how many different companies become part of building something this big and massive.
Okay, I know there's several members with questions. Let's get Representative Westerberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And well, first of all, Representative Loeffler, if this amendment were to go on the bill, would you support the bill?
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Mr. Westerberg, I always think that that's an unfair question because I think we should judge every question as it comes forward, but I would probably move this out for further consideration. That does not mean that in the final thing I would, you know, not reflect the views of of whatever emerges out of the final process. I think that's something we always have to do. But I have felt all along that it has been unfair to have a major, huge development for one county hiding in the shadow of a Viking stadium. And I really think the public does not understand this. The public supporters of the stadium who called me, I've talked to, and they do not. All the public reporting in the press, and I have called reporters on this, has been about the Anoka County Viking Stadium supported by the 0.75 sales tax. There has been no public discussion of the sales tax increment. There has been no public discussion of the fact that actual state dollars will go into this development. There's been no public in the press, as far as I'm aware of, perhaps in Anoka County, but not in the general press that I'm familiar with, discussion of how these transportation improvements would go ahead to the front of the line of those in Rochester, those in Duluth, those in any other part of the state. And I think this makes for a clean process, and I think that we really ought to have an honest debate about whether or not there should be state funding and public support for Viking Stadium that should be discussed separately and in the eyes of the public be understood separately from the creation of a second mega mall. And I'm not saying that wouldn't be a wonderful thing for the economy of the state or for the northern suburbs or anything else. I'm just saying I think that the two issues shouldn't obscure each other, and that this should be just a clean stadium bill. The Viking Stadium only, moving forward on its own, competing with the Gophers, competing with the Twins for the allegiance of the public and the financing options that are on the table. And so this uses the exact same language that was put in the Twins bill. It focuses us on what I think the bill has been advertised as, which is a Viking Stadium bill.
Representative Westerberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Loeffler, I certainly appreciate what you're trying to do. However, this is not the Twins bill. This is a different project. And as such, that's what the benefits, I think many of the benefits of this project are, you're trying to delete from the bill. And this particular project is totally different. This amendment changes the scope of this bill tremendously. It's changing, it's deleting the city of Blaine's input into this production and project. It's deleting all the taxes in Section 11, taking $115 million away from the project. Members, it's trying to make this bill something that it's not. And as such, I would certainly speak against the amendment.
Okay, to this point, Representative Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loeffler, you used the phrase several times, just like we amended it into the Twins bill. Am I to gather that the A6 amended it into the Twins bill? Am I to gather that the A6 amendment is language that was amended into the Twins bill, or are there portions of the A6 that were actually amended into the Twins bill? I don't recall this amendment on the floor of the House at all.
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Representative Baird, what I had asked our council to do, and I think he and Jean Lefebvre can speak for themselves, to, as much as possible, have the Viking Stadium language, the bill authority in terms of the governmental authority related to, you know, all the things that I mentioned, you know, having a website, announcing their meetings, you know, all that stuff, near identically that which was passed by this body in the Twins bill. And I did it that way because I felt like that was going to be easier than for the committee to have to deal with a series of, you know, 20 different amendments dealing with each little thing like we did with on the Twins bill. And I'm hoping that this will actually streamline the process, because every single one of those provisions, you know, was a debate in some committee. And it appeared to me that the delete everything amendment, which we got yesterday afternoon while we were debating on the floor, did not have the thoughtfulness on a lot of those provisions that the Twins bill had. And so I felt like we should take the work of our committee and bring it forward and put it into the Viking Stadium bill. So that this is reflecting that. And I will say, and Mark can speak for himself, that it's difficult to make them identical in every way, but on the particular provisions that this amendment has, he took the language that was in the Twins Bill. So the Twins Bill language on the website is here. You know, every one of those provisions should be exactly as we passed them on the House floor. What it does do is just focus us on a stadium only, so we don't have to recreate the debate and discussion that we had when we had the seven-hour hearing on this bill about, you know, state increment, sales tax increment funds, how much state money is going to come out of the Minnesota Treasury for this, for the development. This just focuses it on the stadium itself.
To this point, Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loeffler, I do understand what you're trying to do, and I think that the principle or the essence of what you're attempting to do might be very tempting if these projects were very similar. Unfortunately, they're not. These are really horses of a different color, if I can use that phrase. And quite frankly, for me, one of the beauties of this particular proposal is the fact that it's different, and it is the fact that it's a bigger development. And we're talking a huge economic opportunity here, not only for Anoka County and the metro area, but the entire state. You know, thoughts that I have, and I thought about this, and I thought, boy, it does kind of short-circuit a lot of things, and a lot of discussion's been done, but I'm just, number one, there's no assurance that the Twins language is the perfect language for doing a public-private entity. I think it turned out well, and I supported it. But there's no assurance that it is the perfect model to use, and it's baseball and this is football, so they're two different things. The other thing I have to keep coming back to is the fact that just as Hennepin County and those commissioners and that group of people stepped up and those elected officials, you know, the county officials stepped up to do this, and they put something together and spent a lot of hours and a lot of time working with the Vikings and put their deal together. And to just take out everything that they put together and throw in what Hennepin County did with the Twins, I just don't know if that's the right thing to do. I guess I have to think it's probably not. And the you know, the idea that that we can just do a cut and paste and take the Vikings proposal out and cut and paste with some Twin stuff because it seems like it worked out, I just have a hard time with that. So, Representative Lawler, I appreciate the spirit, I think, that you brought this, but I really can't support it for those that, for those reasons.
Next up is Representative Neil Pearson.
Thank you. I'm going to echo some of the same comments. I looked at it and I spotted the Section 10 and the Section 11, which just really guts the bill financially. And I can see what you're doing procedurally before that, but those two are the 900-pound gorillas. I saw a couple of things in here that I kind of liked in the Twins bill. And if, you know, if you could take this thing and start breaking the pieces apart, you might get some support. But the way it's written, I mean, again, those sections, delete Section 10 and delete Section 11, absolutely just takes the knees right out from under it. So I can't support it the way it's written.
Next up is Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you're talking apples and oranges here. I mean, if you just read this document here. It talks about the Northern Lights. It's a Minnesota Sports Retail and Entertainment Center. And like Representative Westerberg, you were talking with yesterday, a banker once told you, if someone wants to invest $1 billion, figure out a way to do it. And Mr. Wolf has come forward with, in partnership with Anoka County, to say, you know, I've got a stadium. I'd like to I have the Vikings. I'd like to have a stadium. If you can help me build a stadium, I will invest $1 billion around it. And I was just talking to my son yesterday, you know, to thinking about the Twins. He said, you know what, I went to school out east for 7 years, and I don't even like baseball, and I went to Camden Yards, and said, I thoroughly enjoyed it. They were playing Kansas City, not even the Twins. And I went back for several more games just because of the stadium and this Northern Lights thing. Is even more enticing. Mr. Wolf said the other stadiums around the country, a lot of them have inviting atmospheres. Well, that's what this is. And you're going to attract a lot of people up here. Representative Loeffler, you said, I got the opinion you were saying we're investing a lot of money into one county. Well, I guess that kind of supports allowing that county to have their own local referendum upheld because it's local control. I just I just don't think we're you can't compare the Twins deal to the Vikings deal. They're just not the same.
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Representative Wardlaw, I think this kind of crystallizes the problem when you have a delete everything amendment that comes in and changes the financing even more than the last version. And that if you think of the key issues that you and your constituents wrestle with about stadiums, is there a public purpose or not? Should public dollars assist people who have more wealth than most of us could ever dream of? Even if we bought the lottery ticket, I don't know if you could get as high as Mr. Polis. But, you know, I mean, those are the... Why should state general fund dollars go into a stadium? This is, and its development. This bill is the first stadium bill before us since I took office last year that takes state general fund money and applies it to a stadium and the surrounding development. And I know that that is a watershed issue for a lot of people. And it's one that has not gotten a lot of public airing. Section 11 of this bill goes beyond the original introduced bill, which had a sales tax increment, which said in the 1.2 million square feet of new retail, and I have no idea if that's half a mega mall or a third of a mega mall or whatever it is. I just know that's a lot. Someone told me it was 12 Targets. You know, that the shopping that's done there, the sales tax that's collected from people buying whatever it is in those stores, shoes, hats, computers, football memorabilia, whatever, the sales tax on that will not go to the state treasury, will not go for education, will not go for health care, will not go for the environment, will not go for any of the things that our state general fund benefits from, but will instead go to development costs in Anoka County. And I think that many of those soccer moms who take their kids to the soccer stadium that we've already built in Anoka and that has served a wonderful purpose, when they have a five-hour layover between games and a tournament, are going to take their kids and buy them clothes and buy them maybe back-to-school supplies and other things that they would have otherwise bought at Rosedale, or they would have bought at their hometown stores, they would have bought at Target, and instead they'll buy them in this area, and it will take money, that sales tax money that otherwise would have gone into the general fund and apply it to these development costs. The delete everything amendment that was presented and adopted this morning goes beyond that. It now creates an income tax increment. Right now, all the income taxes that are paid by the Viking players and the Viking employees go into our state general fund. And they pay for education and health care and DNR and transportation and all the things that we pass in our budget. This bill now says that the additional earnings in the future, actually I think the baseline is 2004, so it actually goes back a little bit in time. So anything that's paid in payroll above and beyond what was paid 2 years ago in income taxes will not go to the state treasury. So if in the future Viking players are paid an average of $40 million a year, the additional income taxes that would have been generated by that large payroll will not go into the general fund treasury, but will instead go to development costs and support in only Anoka County, not all 87 counties, but only in Anoka and Bling. And I think this is a key decision that has not been gotten public airing, has not been aired in the press, and that we are the first place to make a decision on. And my amendment takes out the state subsidies here. It takes out state taxes going to a development of a stadium and 740 acres of new corporate offices, new office space, new light industrial, new retail. And it says I'm not prepared to take state general fund dollars when our schools are so underfunded, when our higher education tuition is so high, and put it into a development in Anoka County. And so I'm not hiding at all that this amendment has two provisions. One is it makes it a stadium-only provision, bill using the exact language of the items that are not addressed in the Vikings bill and puts those in place, and it deletes the development dollars that are based on an increment that comes from the state treasury and will result in dollars taken away, because I believe that those are dollars that would otherwise flow into the state treasury. Maybe not 100%. Maybe this is going to be spiffy enough to attract people to fly in from other parts of the country. But I suspect 80% or more of the people who visit Northern Lights Shopping Center, who work in the Northern Lights office towers, will be Minnesotans. Some might cross the border from Wisconsin, but I do think this is going to be a Minnesota development. And I think it ought to rise and fall in the legislature as a separate bill and not hide in the shadow of the Viking Stadium and the enthusiasm and support that Vikings fans have for wanting a new stadium. And so, to me, there's two very clean issues, and this amendment brings it forward as a stadium-only bill, just like the Quinn.
Okay, we need to move on here. Representative Westerberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Just in closing on this amendment, again, I really want to speak against the amendment. First of all, I think Representative Loeffler did a good job of explaining the incremental differences. You know, with the new stadium, hopefully payroll will be higher. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Vikings are one of the businesses involved with this project, is to make more money. And we're using the governor's but-for argument, that but-for we would do something like this, we wouldn't have those increases. And that's what we're trying to do. This amendment considerably changes the scope of the bill, changes the whole procedure on it. The bill does not require any general fund money, and the state of Minnesota is actually the biggest benefactor in this particular bill. So I'd ask you to vote against the amendment.
Okay, members, I will also be opposing this amendment. To the A6 amendment, any discussion? All in favor of the A6 amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Amendment is not adopted.
Madam Chair?
Representative Loeffler.
I'd like to ask for a division simply because I was involved in a controversial amendment last year in which I spent almost, I think, 2 days responding to people who wanted to know how people voted.
Okay. All in favor of the A6 amendment, please raise your hand. Okay, you can put them down. Okay. All opposed to the A6 amendment, raise your hand. Okay, you can put them down. There being 7 ayes and 14 nays, motion does not prevail. Amendment is not adopted. Okay, we'll do the A9 amendment. That's the last one. Representative Loeffler, I believe that one's yours. Representative Loeffler, the A9 amendment.
The A9 amendment, Madam Chair, just takes away the issue under the purposes section. It takes away the line that says the legislature further finds that a new stadium should be coordinated with transportation and transit plans and activities. And it raises the issue of, I'm not opposed to coordinating things, but my question is whether or not this could be used to justify, in other means, moving up all Anoka-counted transportation plans ahead of everyone else who's on the list in the Department of Transportation. My understanding, and I'm not a transportation expert, is that the Department of Transportation sets sort of a priority system of ranking all the projects, bridges, roads, improvements, et cetera, around the state. And in doing that, it's influenced not by legislative direction. This bill still provides for funding.
Madam Chair,
of the Anoka County Transportation Provision.
I'm sorry.
This point, Representative Westberg.
I'm sorry. Could we get a copy of the amendment? I'm looking at the A9 that deletes two lines on page 13, and I just don't understand the conversation at all.
Representative, are you looking at a different amendment?
That's just what she's talking about.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't catch the number of the amendment. You're correct. Let me back up and explain the A9 amendment.
Okay. Representative Loeffler.
Sorry about that. Got too many pieces of paper in front of us.
Okay.
The A9 amendment deals with page 13, lines 1 and 2, and it says that the authority, this is the ballpark authority, may negotiate with the teams for the capture of stadium tax increments as provided in this section. Now, this is, to me, a very unusual sort of situation in that you have state revenue streams, which is what the increments are, being negotiated between an appointed authority and the teams. And it seems to me that the bill should be clear enough that there's no need for negotiation, but certainly when we're dedicating state tax streams, it ought to be not through a negotiation with a private party, but in law. And so this would take out the section that I talked to a number of our tax staff. They couldn't figure out what this would really mean or how it would be implemented and what the role of the team would be. And I don't know if the intent of this was that, you know, the owner of the Vikings could say, you know, I'm really trying hard to get this quarterback and he wants an extra $20 million. Can we get this outside of that increment? I mean, I don't understand why we would ever have a team involved, and the reference to teams plural was even more confusing to me. So I'd like to delete this language and keep the responsibility for dealing with taxing authority with the public agencies and not negotiate it with a private entity.
Okay, and members, I'd like to wrap up the meeting here soon. We do need to be out of the room at a certain time, and so this is our last amendment. We're hoping to get final comments and a vote here in the next few minutes. So Representative Westberg to the A9 amendment.
Madam Chair and Representative Loeffler, to win your vote on this bill, we'll accept the A9 amendment as a friendly amendment.
Any other questions to the A9 amendment? Representative Loeffler renews her motion on the A9 amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails and amendment is adopted. Okay, now we have the bill in front of us. And, yes, Representative Wilkie. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to any of the testifiers that want to answer my questions, I had talked to Representative Westerberg on the floor yesterday and just told him I would have some questions regarding the bill that I wanted some clarification on that I never got answered in the last hearing, but I hadn't brought them up to you. So I just want to be, I want to know exactly what I'm voting on when I vote on this bill. And one of my questions is, as I read this bill, the public dollars are going to be used for, as it states on page 11, the acquisition of land, the design and construction of the stadium, and it lists five different things. So the public dollars are going to be used to build the stadium and purchase the land. Then in your outline, and I have this document for all members that want to look at it, I'm just looking at the different things that are going to be built on the land. And I would like to know who owns these buildings, the 800,000 square foot specialty retail shop, the 200,000 square feet for destination anchor store, two 100,000 square foot retail anchors, the 250 room hotel and conference center. Who owns these buildings?
Mr. Novak.
Madam Chair, Representative, just to be clear, I'll say it this way. All of the public dollars that are involved and the combination of monies are invested in the public facility, the stadium, and the land directly under it. All other investment properties are private investments.
Okay. So then I have another question to follow up on that. Thank you for clarifying that. I really appreciate that, because I believe if we're using public dollars to purchase land, then we, as I see it, we should offer anyone the opportunity to come and build there. And is that the case? Will other people have the ability, private contractors, private developers, have the ability to come in on that the 600, 700 acre site, 740 acre site, and be able to build on it.
Madam Chair, Representative.
Mr. Hovind.
As I mentioned the other day in the Minnesota Senate hearings, which went on all weekend, this has been a complicated process that I have to interject that has been very public over a very long period of time. Anoka County has been involved in this process, frankly, longer than Hennepin, within the context of the Pawlenty administration and the Governor's Commission on Stadiums, which dates back to January of 2004. And so we have a variety of partnerships and relationships that have been developed and contracted. There's a relationship between Anoka County and the City of Blaine, which forms the compact on local government as part of the partnership. There's a separate negotiated agreement between Anoka County and the new private owner of the Vikings, Mr. Wilf. There's a separate relationship between Mr. Wilf as the developer and the City of Blaine, who has their own processes under Minnesota law as a city. And they have master plan. They are master planning this 740-acre development with a developer who's turning out to be Mr. Wilf. It might not have been, but it now appears like it will be. And that's been a separate process through the municipality of Blaine, which would follow normal courses of action under law in the state of Minnesota in terms of development. And what's made our partnership unique is Anoka County, I guess you could say, has handled the politics of the issue, and they voted back in January of 2004 to be an equity partner in terms of capital investment with the proposed countywide tax and what is now the $280 million investment. It was Anoka County negotiating with the owner who got the owner's portion up to 41%. Last August and September, not the state. It was Anoka County negotiating with the private owner who got the ownership up to 41%. So there's a lot of things that need to be, and it's desirable to be the same as the Twins, but there's a lot of things that are different from the Twins. And one of the many things that's different from the Twins is we have a much higher amount of money and percentage of investment from the private owner. It was the county government who negotiated that deal for the benefit of the state. So in terms of other developers, if that's your question, my understanding of that set of circumstances, which is really governed by the City of Blaine as part of the master development, Mr. Wilf may or may not end up being the master developer. It's presumed he will be. But the project is so large and the private investment side of the project is so significant that it's presumed that there will be numbers of different private corporations, developers, who will be developing the different aspects of the project, if that answers your question.
Follow-up, Representative Welty.
Well, Madam Chair, and to the testifier, I think you did a fairly good job at answering my question. I'm trying to get the guarantee that there will be others that will be involved in the development on the site, and just from listening to your comments, it leads me to believe that Mr. Wilf right now is entering into this contract. He's bringing the dollars there. He's saying that he's going to be investing, and I wonder if there's actually going to be room for others to invest. I guess I have a concern that if we're going to put this much public funding into a stadium and the land surrounding the stadium, that others should be allowed to invest in the development around it and not just have one developer control the development because they've entered into the agreement with the authority.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to take another stab at being more clear, best of my ability, and if there's others who want to add to this explanation, I would welcome them to join in. But on the one hand, I don't think this master development concept is any different than many others that go on in Minnesota every year that we're around here. The city, whatever city it happens to be, in this case the City of Blaine, has chosen to master plan this property. And that decision was made before Mr. Wilf even showed up on the scene. Going way back to 2003, 2004, the city always talked about the desire to master plan the property. When we first came and made the beginning of what has been many public discussions and public hearings about our project, our proposed project, back in 2004 and 2005 as an example, working through the very public Governor's Commission on Stadiums and then the succeeding legislative hearings in this room and over in the Senate and so on and so forth, we talked about the need for a master developer.
Mr. McCombs at that time was not interested in doing that, but we were still interested in passing the legislation and moving the development down because we knew that another master developer could or would show up. We were talking with people as far away as Arizona, as an example, who were interested in coming here. So within the context of the master plan developed between Blaine and the master developer, who we now presume will be Mr. Wilk, because he's made a presentation of Blaine. They're absorbing his presentation. They're negotiating. There will be many other developers who will be involved in the project. Is that a fair summary?
Madam Chair, Representative Walter, just real briefly, yes, that is correct, Mr. Novak. 740-acre development, roughly 260 acres of wetlands, so that leaves 480 of developable land. There are about 18 different pieces of property, about 12 different property owners, and as I testified before the committee a couple weeks ago, Mr. Wirth has met with virtually all of the property owners and as entering the transactions and has acquired about half of the developable property. The non-stadium, the non-public-private partnership, if you will, of the private development, the sports retail entertainment center outside of the stadium complex is all private, but it will be privately funded by Mr. Wolf. There is property in and around the 740 acres that others have and are and will be investing in, but the rest of the development is private, with entirely private investment by Mr. Wolf and partners.
Okay, Representative Welty, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, my follow-up question, I'm going to try to hold it to one question, but it might come out as two questions. So as I understand it, we still have essentially public purchased land with private development on top of it. And if that's the case, then when the sale takes place, and you can correct me if I'm misinterpreting this, if the sale takes place, then I can see this as, you know, we're building this anchor, we have this huge complex, public dollars are being invested, and when someone goes to sell, the development around this area 10, 15, 20 years down the road, and they make a large profit, because I can see that happening, do we see any return on our investment for putting the funding into the stadium and actually creating this development?
Well, there are a couple questions there, Madam Chair, Representative Welty. And if I heard you right, I think you misunderstood. The land outside the stadium, it will be publicly owned, and everything outside of the stadium complex will be privately owned and pay taxes. So the stadium is public, and the rest of the land, you said public land, it will be acquired as part of the development and paid for with private dollars.
Okay. We have a list here. The next one up is Representative Neil Pearson.
Clarification. If there are no taxes on the facility that's owned by the stadium, and the rest of the development will pay real estate tax, and they'll pay it within the city of Blaine. My question is, so when Blaine is required to start contributing to fiscal disparities, they understand that, and they're not going to come in here and cry not wanting to contribute to the fiscal disparities pool, because they'll be the only city in Anoka that will probably go over the threshold where they'll be a contributor and not a receiver. I'm just guessing at that.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Novak.
Pledge not to cry.
Signed in blood?
To be totally factual, inside Anoka County today, there's one city who pays in. It's the city of Britain.
But am I right that this potentially would push Blaine in out of the formula?
Potentially. We think it probably will.
Okay. Next up was Representative Hoppe. Did you?
I will pass, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Loeffler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciated the questions that Representative Welty was asking, but I got kind of confused by the answers. I'm sorry. The public-private here lines are kind of a little vague. Is the public authority or the county going to be assisting in acquiring the 740 acres, or in any way in using eminent domain or anything else, or are they only involved in the public site in terms of, you know, Blaine, the county, or the public authority that's been, the ballpark authority that's been created here?
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, the 740 acres will be acquired entirely with private funds. The dollars that the biking ownership would invest in the property under the stadium, would be a public-private partnership, those dollars dropping my point here.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Yanish.
The private party will buy all 740 acres. The allocation of revenue, the obligation of the Vikings, for example, is to contribute $280 million. So that portion of their equity assigned to the land under the stadium, they get to count. Do you understand?
Quickly, Representative Loeffler.
Well, this one key difference between the Twins Bill and this one is the Twins Bill requires cash up front from the Vikings, or from the Twins, and this bill has a whole bunch of different ways for the Vikings to have their part credited. And so if they buy, you know, 20 acres of land, I don't know how big the football footprint is going to be, say 10 acres, and they buy it for, you know, $2 million, can they sell it to the authority for, you know, $30 million, or what's the deal here? Since it isn't a cash contribution, is there inflation in that transfer?
Well, and that's the point I dropped. I apologize, Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, is that the private dollars spent on the property that the stadium will be built on is part of the private contribution toward the stadium. So $280 million from Mr. Wilf, part of that includes the property that the stadium is built on. That was the point I wanted to bring across.
Okay. Members, we've spent over 9 hours on this bill now between today and our previous hearing. We've had 11 amendments. I think we're getting close to a vote here. I will be voting in support of this bill. We had 15 citizens testify at the earlier hearing, and there was only one on our list today. It's Mr. Hafner, who did testify at the earlier meeting. I apologize to him for not getting him up today, but we are running into a time crunch here. I know Ways and Means is meeting. I have a bill up in another committee, and I'd really like to wrap up here today. So let's get any final questions, and Representative Westerberg will go to you right before we vote. Real quickly, Representative Olson.
Well, Madam Chair, I didn't realize I wasn't on the list there. I have about four questions or so.
Quickly, please. Chair, it's going to your committee next.
Well, I realize, and this is to prepare for my committee. Madam Chair, I can be brief with my questions, and I apologize I wasn't here promptly when the meeting began. I wasn't able to be here. And in respect to that, if my questions have been asked, I would just asked that they be noted by other, by someone other than Representative Hoppe.
Trying to help.
And I will pass at that point. But I didn't hear anything, so I'll continue. There's a number of things in the bill I don't think are addressed sufficiently, and I'd just like to know, to collect some information. Private seat licenses. Will they be sold? I assume they will. You know, every good investor is going to know their revenue streams as well as their expenditures. How many and at what price will they be sold?
Mr. Bagley.
Madam Chair, Representative Olson, we have not addressed that question, and thank you for asking it. Vikings will undertake a market analysis, and we'll have to interview and survey our ticket holders to see if this market and our ticket holders, if it can bear a personal seat license program. The Detroit Lions is an example of a team that did analysis of their ticket holders and determined that their ticket holders would not support, or the market would not bear, a personal seat license program. So the bottom line is, we have not undertaken that. Once we hopefully move forward through the financing and construction, we will get into that question. We will analyze it. So there's no decision has been made regarding personal seat licenses.
Madam Chair.
Quickly, Representative Olson.
The next question, parking revenues. The Patriots charge $35 a car, $125 limo, and $200 a bus. What do you anticipate in revenues in that area?
Mr. Bagley.
Madam Chair, Representative Olson, part of the reason why the Patriots can charge that much is that market. They can also charge a lot more for corporate sponsorships and boxes, and we're a small, essentially a small market team. And but I think it's the same answer. I think, you know, the parking question needs to be resolved through research. I don't know that we've gotten pegged a specific price, but it'll be nowhere near what they charge in Boston or New York or Chicago.
Madam Chair, Mr. Bagley, I assume your response will be the same with regard to club seats as it was to private seat licenses.
Madam Chair, Representative Olson, excuse me. The club seats are something that we would likely do, and right now our program. The program requirements or projections would be roughly 7,500 club seats. So that is something that most, if not all, arenas and stadiums have been built in the last several years have included club seats.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Bagley, with regard to the price, though, you probably have to do the same as you referenced with your private seat license.
Representative, would be correct.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, Mr. Bagley, access to single-game seats. How many season tickets do you anticipate being sold? How many of the remaining seats will be friends and family seats? And how many single-game seats will be available to the general public? And if you need to get me these numbers later, that'd be fine.
Madam Chair, Representative Olson, we will work with you on that. This is where it stands. Right now, the Metrodome has 64,000 seats. 60,000 of those are season tickets. Our new stadium hopefully will be 68,500 seats. The season tickets may be in that same range, in the 50,000 to 60,000. So that's where we are in terms of our analysis. The second point on affordable tickets, there will definitely be affordable tickets in a range of ticket prices, and very fan and family friendly, not just stadium but overall development.
And the last question, Madam Chair, stadium naming rights. What is the expected present value of 30 years of stadium naming rights?
Mr. Bagley.
Madam Chair, Representative Olson, I'm not sure I have that figure. I believe the Xcel Energy Center was a $4 million annual figure. The market has been up and down. I think it depends. When that particular issue will be resolved, one of the last things when the stadium is up and ready to open, I think that's when you negotiate naming rights. So it depends on the market and the timing, and when we can get it up and running.
Madam Chair, Mr. Bagley, if the stadium, the Gopher Stadium bill, continues to go down the same path as it is in Senate right now, you'll have another possible. Customer.
Representative, duly noted.
Thank you.
Okay, members, I'd like to wrap up. First, I want to announce that I'm going to adjust my original motion that this bill would pass without recommendation to the local government committee. So, Representative Westerberg, we're going to give you the final word here before we vote on your bill. Representative Westerberg.
Well, Madam Chair, members, I'll be really short, too. I just want to point out, this land is not going to stay here. It's going to go away. It's going to be used for other things if we don't do this as soon as possible. And I know Representative Seifert made her comment, that it's going to take a lot to, bring this bill through to fruition, but I think that it can be done. And I think that this is the best stadium proposal that we have of the three of them that we're considering. And when you evaluate it, do your pluses and minuses, and you look at the bad things and you look at the good things, you're going to see that this stadium is far better than some of the other projects that we're talking about. The other thing I want to point out, members, is that this has broad bipartisan support. I've said this before in this committee, but in the entire time I've been here, we've seen other stadium bills. But usually they're always brought forth by a representative who does not happen to live in the very district that we're trying to put a stadium in. In this particular bill, you have a Republican representative who lives in the district, who is the chief author of the bill. You also have a DFL senator who is the chief author of the bill who lives in the district. I mean, it shows broad bipartisan support, members. It's really a good idea, and we really need your help to get it done.
Okay. We're going to be voting here in just a second, and then after I announce a vote, then we'll do some announcements before we wrap up then. So, Chair renews the motion that House File 2294, as amended and without recommendation, pass and be re-referred to the local government committee. Officially, it goes to local government and defaults to rules since we're after third deadline. The official motion is to local government, and I checked that with the chief clerk. Okay. I'm renewing that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails and bill
division.
Goes. Okay, division being called. All in favor of this, please raise your hand. Keep them up. Okay, you can put them down. All opposed, please raise your hand. There being 13 ayes and 9 nays, motion prevails and the bill does go to local government. Thank you, members. I have a couple of quick announcements here.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Thank you, Representative Westerberg. Members, if we could just have a quiet for a moment to just wrap up a couple things here. This is our last meeting of Governmental Operations and Veterans Affairs. I appreciate all the hard work you put in. I want to give a special thanks to our staff, Mark Shepherd from House Research, Brad Kelly, DFL Research, Jason Fossum has been with us a couple meetings here, Republican Partisan Research. Chad Hall, our page, has done a great job. Appreciate that. Sarah Durenberger as our CLA and Pat Turgeon as our new CA. So let's give them some appreciation.
Madam Chair,
Vice Chair Stevenson,
just a kudos on you, for your chairing this committee. Has been an extremely well-run committee. It's been bipartisan, and I think we've had good participation on both sides. And your generosity in getting the donuts and the goodies to the committee is duly noted, and we really appreciate your chairmanship. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Good luck in re-election, and hope to see you all back in January. With that, meeting is adjourned.